Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that can get that spot out of the carpet. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
The Scope has some decisions to make. The Beastie Boys' new album goes before the review committee, and Jared tries to reclaim his collectible plate collection he sold at a
fuck!
Here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane!
Kapow! Here we are, episode 109 of The Scope. We're broadcasting through the Rapture.
Yeah.
Directly into your headphones, your earbuds.
We're going to do the same thing for next year, 2012, Whoa. December 12th.
Yeah, we're going to just keep...
December 21st.
Every maybe. Rapture, we will keep the world alive.
By the way, that third line in the tease, which I couldn't get out...
Yes, please.
...was Jared tries to reclaim the collectible plate collection he sold in a pre-Rapture cash grab.
I figured you were just going to re-record after us, yeah. And we wouldn't even know that happened.
He'd go back. He actually does that, you know. If you don't listen to the show, he cuts us all out.
I just do impressions of you guys. It's really crazy.
My name's Adam!
Well, it's Adam doing a bad impression of Jared doing an impression of Adam.
I think it was spot on. I've heard this show before.
You haven't heard it in about 4 years, though.
Things have changed dramatically.
Yeah. No, come on. Who are we kidding? It's the same show. So, yes, the Rapture is, you know, we record this on a Saturday afternoon, and then we post it the following Monday. So we are going through the Rapture. Do you have any last words, Adam?
We're actually about 4 hours and 45 minutes away from the Rapture local time.
So the Rapture start
6 p.m.
I mean, has it started somewhere?
Supposedly it's supposed to start at 6 p.m. in all of the time zones because God is very he sticks to, you know, what our notions of time are.
And it starts in America, so...
Originally supposed to start at the international dateline.
Yeah, so because the Christmas Islands should have fallen into the sea already.
And like I said, I have not heard from anyone over there, so I'm assuming...
All of your sources of the Christmas
right,
Islands?
Right. Yeah.
Adam's got people everywhere, Jared.
I understand that.
My people are everywhere.
His people were scattered to the wind.
Your people not liking Obama right now, too.
Whatever. Fuck those idiots. Those people also don't like putting pictures of Hillary Clinton, in a really important picture.
Or any women.
Photoshopping them out.
He hates that your people hate Hillary Clinton. They hate Obama.
I hate those Jews. Just like I hate the same kind of people that are crazy Christians.
You're a self-hating Jew hater.
You hate anyone who's too extreme.
Yeah, anyone that's a fundamentalist. Yes. Fuck all those people.
I like it.
Like those thrill seekers in the Mountain Dew commercials.
Those guys that, you know, they're at a lake and they've got a big rope.
Adrenaline.
They've
junkies.
Got a tree. They've got a rope tied to a tree and they're swinging into the pond. You hate those guys?
That commercial's about 30 years old, but yeah.
Remember those Mountain Dew commercials? They just swing into a lake.
You're taking the fun in fundamental? Is that what you're doing?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm just a demental.
Gotcha.
He's demental. Thank you. So yeah, we'll push through the Rapture if it comes upon us. Maybe we should have done it at 6 p.m.
There was a really big thunder. What would you call that? Clash? That I heard.
It's a thunder clash.
A couple hours ago.
Some rolling thunder.
Yeah.
It's like the rolling earthquake. He was just off by a couple. It was like, you know, vertical a couple miles, and that's what missed.
I think I read somewhere that he still planned on paying his employees, or he paid them for their day off.
He gave them
their check comes out next week or something.
By
like
he,
that.
You mean Jesus Christ,
yes.
Our Lord and Savior? No,
it all comes down to Jesus.
Harold Camping, the guy that runs Family Radio. I was reading he gave them a paid time off, a paid holiday on Friday. And some Oakland indie paper had like interviewed a couple people, and they none of them believed any of it. You could kind of tell, and they all thought it was kind of funny that the day, you know, like their paid day wouldn't show up until their June 3rd paycheck, which, you know, obviously after the Rapture. So they're kind of smirking.
So fingers crossed. Hopefully it works out.
If they just leave a forwarding address, you know, now in heaven,
mm-hmm.
then they'll get that paycheck.
Yeah. Because money counts everywhere. Cash is king.
Like I would love to get a count of the number of people that pulled their kids out of school, that quit their jobs, that, you know, how much money they themselves spent on this.
Let me ask you a question, since you are a cynical but realistic kind of person. Do you think it's more than you would expect or less than you expect? How many people really buy into this?
Given...
I mean, this guy's done it before.
Right.
I mean, this is
given
not...
reality, I would expect it's more because my expectation would be zero people are idiots, but... you know, I know that's not true. You know, you know, I've read, I think, maybe a dozen stories of you know, people that have had some sort of, you know, their relationships are breaking up. They have pulled their kids out of school and stuff like that. There's more than 12. So, you know, how many? The guy's gotten $90 million in donations in the last 6 years. So.
Have you met anybody that buys into this?
No.
I mean, it's kind of like Michelle Bachmann here in Minnesota. I've never met a person that's voted for her, but damn it, is she not in office? And she's probably going to get reelected. The rapture's kind of the same thing. I've never met a person that...
That's because none of us go, you know, north of Anoka County. I mean, that's why.
That's true.
We don't go into the third ring suburbs or whatever. That's where all our supporters are.
Oh, my God. I work with some of those people, they don't buy into it.
My question is, what is Harold Camping's story now that it doesn't? That nothing has happened. What does he follow up with? Like, oh, I didn't carry a number somewhere, or what?
I think that maybe he'll say that people believed enough, that the hearts of the believers were true and they were spared.
That was my original assumption, but this is a weird group because they were hoping for it to come. So, like, their prayers...
Maybe they'll say people didn't believe enough?
Yeah, who knows?
Not enough people
or maybe,
on the bandwagon?
Maybe he'll just keep on the October 21st date of, you know, maybe he's going to say, you know what? Too many sinners. So, you know, there are some people that did get ascended. We'll never hear about them. And then on October 21st, I guess we're all sinners. So the world's going to end then. I don't know.
So he's got to have a follow-up.
Is there
plan,
another
right?
date after October 21st?
No, that's
next year?
That is the
So
end.
After that, have we passed all the Incan BS too? Or
the Mayan. But the no, Mayan that's, stuff? That's, no, that's.
So we've got more shit coming.
That's next December.
Yeah. December 21st, 2012.
This is way too much for me to be keeping track of.
You know what? If you know any Jehovah's Witnesses, since 1956, maybe it's before then, the 30s, they had nine predictions like this in the 20th century.
And how many have come true?
Well, I mean, every one of them, if you want to think of it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the existentialism, we're not really here, you know. Our spirits are just podcasting from heaven.
Ah, yeah. And I won't be paying any more bills. Thanks, Adam.
It's good Fitzgerald to job drop
just
out.
Tell the IRS that you know.
I'm some sort of existential mumbo jumbo.
Yeah. Huh. I mean, I don't know. It's just such a waste. So
it's a lot of time, a lot of thought, a lot of money put into stuff that
I'm kind of
just
not.
Waste
I'm
people.
Not into it anymore because I felt like it was still kind of funny and not everyone was talking about it, but. You know, if you looked at Twitter or anything,
it's
the
ridiculous.
Last it was just
done
like,
to death.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, so his last prediction was in 94.
His in 1993, he wrote a book called 1994 ?
Yeah.
But in it, he said,
I guess
I may
that a
be
year?
Wrong.
I don't know.
He said, I may be wrong. And if I am, it's going to be May 21st, 2011. So, like.
So he covered his bases for.
Yeah.
But, a good but 15 years
this
or whatever.
One didn't have, and he's 90. Like, yeah. Maybe he didn't think he'd make it to 90. And he's like, it doesn't matter if I'm wrong.
I'm not. I was
making
anyway.
I'm making my money now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a punk ass.
They their ministry or whatever was streaming on Ustream or something last night and
you were there.
Right.
Shouldn't it be on JC Stream? Come on.
And it was they were taking callers and just like it was just people fucking with them the whole time.
Yeah.
Did any of them sound like Richard or Sal?
Yes. It's all people doing prank calls the entire time.
Like they didn't take direct calls. They recorded the caller but you know, like a bunch of them. There was a Rick Roll that happened. I mean, it was
It's amusing.
Oh my goodness. Well, we'll see how it rolls out. I mean, there's still time for today. Yeah. Anything could happen then.
Or tomorrow.
You know, maybe it's a slow earthquake outbreak.
Right.
And then, you know, it starts with a small rumble, and then from there...
What's funny is that...
The earth opens up, and we fall into
it. I guess the southern New Zealand islands have, like, seismic activity almost every day. Yesterday, they had 4 really small earthquakes. And I was like, I can't wait until I turn on the news, and people are freaking out because there was, you know, they're like, oh, there was an earthquake in New Zealand. And it's like, well... But there is every day.
Is this too obvious to say that this guy wouldn't have even close to the publicity on this if there wasn't the internet and, you know, internet social media?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, you know, like we said, in 94, he had a book. And
didn't he spend a lot of money on billboards and things of that
But
nature,
most of that
too?
Wasn't his or his organization. That was
other people that are buying into it?
These are the followers of this, the believers of this. And I've never really understood their reasoning behind it. My assumption is... Because they feel like if they are able to tell people ahead of time, maybe they have a better chance of getting, you know, into heaven. That's my
they're doing
guess.
It as a favor to us.
I guess.
All right.
There's a story of up in St. Cloud or Duluth of a guy spending his whole family's savings on signs. And there's a story of this guy in New York City who's like worked in the subway and spent $140,000 of his own money putting up bus stops.
Where were we with our magic beans? at least they could grow something.
Yeah.
Wow.
That guy, I don't know if you saw the story about the guy who said, like, I'll take care of your pets.
No.
And you have to, like, it's a $200 service, and he supposedly had, like, 800 people sign up.
So, like, a joker like us who's just looking to get...
He didn't think, like, anyone would really, you know, come forward. I don't know. I don't think he collected any actual money.
Okay. It wasn't, well, if it happens, I'll watch over for them, but it's still going to cost you $50 up front.
Right.
I mean, why don't you do something like that?
Yeah. Probably because, yeah.
That's probably, it's probably evil, let's be honest. Yeah. I mean, even for us, that's a pretty evil thing.
Yeah.
Well, I
was thinking that the smart service would be like an email service that emails your friends if you get raptured. And just the way that it works is every day that you're not raptured, you click a link and it doesn't send the emails that day. And then once you're gone, no one's there to click the link. And
bam, gone.
All your friends will get notified.
Maybe you could set up a business with a webcam or something, you know, maybe. And you can see these people being raptured. Like, what actually happens?
There's a flash of light and their clothes are left behind.
Done.
Yeah.
The clothes stay there. Keys, car keys stay there.
There's a blog where a guy,
all metal stuff stays.
iPods and Android phones.
What if you really want to bring your iPad, though? And they probably got like the iPad 6 up in Raptureland.
It's such a great device. It's so close to God already.
It's magical. It is. So
it's definitely coming with
it. Steve Jobs always gives them one generation further in heaven.
Sure.
God's like, hey, what do you got thinking? What are you thinking about, Steve?
Can you imagine how boring heaven is? Like, you know, if heaven was created, you know, at whatever time it was created, like, I mean, there's no stuff up there.
It's good to have stuff.
There's no video games or TV or anything.
Maybe
I'd be bored out of my fucking mind.
Maybe it's the best video games.
No, come on.
I mean, it's
like... like, God's like, hey, go play GTA 4.
Shane, they're playing Rock Band 4 up there.
Probably.
There are future bands in the game.
Bill and Ted and...
it's all Wild Stallion songs.
I was thinking like U3, you know?
U3, yes. Timbuk 4.
The next iteration. I figured like the only music that we played up there would be
Newer Kids on the Block.
Newer Kids. Al's top 200 songs of all time. I mean, that's it. Yeah. You know? He's been tweeting that a lot. So.
Yes.
We'll have to think about that. That might be a show. What would actually be in heaven? The best versions of everything.
I think we just did it.
Oh, okay. Adam's poo-pooed it. Well, like I said, we'll do our best to keep pushing through. And if earthquakes start to happen, it won't matter because the show will never be posted. So we're doing it first.
No, we'll post it. We'll find a way.
I got a hunch none of us are going to be raptured.
Right. I know I'm not. So.
But maybe that's the question. Out of the three of us, who's most likely to be raptured?
Jeez. I don't know.
I'm going to go with Shane.
Did anyone?
Jared goes with me.
Did anyone murder someone in the last week?
No.
Well, no.
I'm sure Jared probably has some skeletons in
his closet. I have the lowest chance then because I did. So
really?
Yep.
A human being?
He was a bum.
He was just a bum.
Well, they don't deserve
it. They're basically not humans, yeah.
You wanted his...
They're subhuman.
You wanted his stick with a kerchief bag tied to the end of it?
No, I thought it'd be fun.
You're pushing.
All right.
Wow. Very dark. Way to end the segment. Very, very dark.
At least I didn't trick anyone to spending in their entire life savings.
True. Oh, but you murdered someone.
Just a bum.
No one knew him.
No. He was not contributing to
somebody
society.
Knew him. He had to pop out of somewhere. So,
sure did. So
to completely flip the script here and change the subject, let's talk about some of the things that Jared, Adam, and myself have been doing. Not necessarily at the same place, but kind of here and there. We've been going to what is this called? Is this called hipster comedy? Is it called nerd comedy? Geek comedy?
What? What is? What are you asking?
Well, Jared and I, a few weeks back, we didn't talk about this. We went to see Chris Hardwick.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
He does the Soup spinoff called
Web Soup.
He's known for
Singled Out.
I mean, that's where his
Shipmates.
He does
a very popular comedy podcast called The Nerdist Podcast. Yep.
His dad was a pro bowler in America in the 70s.
Yeah.
And then this past week, did the both of you go to the Donald Glover?
Yes.
Yep. So he's sort of like a hipster comedian, isn't he? I mean, he's, you know.
I don't know if he's technically even a comedian, but he's a comedy actor.
Okay.
He does stand up on the sketches.
Yeah, didn't he start doing stand up before he was in Community?
Before he was in Community, yes.
Yeah,
okay. He used to write for 30 Rock.
Yep.
And
comedy writer. He's done a lot of web videos.
Yes.
So let's talk about
Tiger Woods and a Funnier Die video that was really funny.
Yeah, that was very good.
Yes.
So yeah, we went to these shows. I don't really know what to add other than I find it interesting that a guy like Chris Hardwick, and I didn't go to the Donald show, so you can, the Donald, the right. other Donald, the dark Donald. I don't really understand it other than they seem to be really Chris Hardwick, like focusing in on a certain type of group. And he's doing pretty well doing that, Jared. I mean, it's...
Oh, yeah. He's definitely gone after the nerd crowd.
It's interesting, though, that if you look at him, he's certainly not a nerd. He doesn't look like one, but he...
He may not look like one,
but really he has the background, doesn't he?
He does. He's completely... Yeah.
He's kind of like the alpha nerd, you know, like the idealized nerd or geek. He's got that look.
I think that the whole interpretation of the look of a nerd isn't, you know, Revenge of the Nerds anymore.
How dare you? How dare you? Gilbert... He's the standard.
Okay. I think he's the 80s standard, and that's fair. But,
and who's the 90s standard?
I mean, nerd and
Urkel?
Geek.
Urkel, 90s standard. 2000.
Nerd and
Justin Timberlake.
And then now the new standard is Brad Pitt, I guess.
Those terms don't make sense anymore. You know, like, because what is a nerd or a geek, or what has been? You know, like people that, like, are into, you know, video games and computers and stuff for the longest time. But it's like, well,
it's kind of the mainstream.
Everyone's got a fucking iPad now, it seems like, you know?
Is that what it takes? iPad?
I'm just giving an example. Like, you know, that is a computer you can bring around with you.
It is a computer you can bring around with you. So, no question about it.
And, you know, celebrities are on Twitter. Like, I don't know when you guys got on Twitter.
They're not doing that because they're nerdy or geeky.
Some of them are. I would say Chris Hardwick probably does that.
But that ties into what he does.
Okay. I just
Rosie O'Donnell's not on Twitter because she's a geek. Rosie O'Donnell's on Twitter because
I'm saying
it's a way
that
to expand her
definition
brand.
Of a classic geek just doesn't hold up anymore because the things that you used to be able to define as geeky, too many people do now.
So what's the?
I agree with Adam.
Killing bums. That's geeky. Now.
Yeah. What's the neoclassical definition of what a geek is? How do you identify one?
I don't know anymore. I mean, it depends on, you know, like, I think the term just isn't useful anymore.
It's Antarctic. I am a retard. That's what I am. That term holds up.
Nerd and geek have really, I mean, they have become interchangeable, and they basically are just used as kind of a blanket classification of someone who into technology, into, I guess, quote unquote, genre stuff, you know, like your science fiction and fantasy films, television, movies. But it's not someone who's just into it on a cursory level. They're really, really kind of dig deep into it. And they're really, really... It's more about anyone who gets obsessed about anything in particular.
Yeah. It's an obsession.
It's like fandom is you know, closer to a better definition, I think,
you know,
of geek.
A lot of people like Star Wars, but a geek would really like Star Wars and would, you know, watch the movies a lot.
Right. Sure. And they would know that the EU is not the European Union, but the expanded universe.
There we go.
There you go. Yeah.
He's got to figure it out. Well, I'm glad you guys are clarifying this for me. I know what to do now.
But I mean, from you know what you were saying, you know, yes, Chris Hardwick, you know,
the average person isn't going to Chris Hardwick show. No offense, I mean, and he's funny. I enjoyed him.
So
but,
yeah, like,
but my sister is
that.
Not going to a Chris Hardwick show.
No.
So you guys enjoyed?
Yeah, I thought it was a great show. Okay.
Yeah, he was.
I don't like his podcast. I feel like he doesn't interview people very well. Questions are awkward, and
I kind of disagree. Actually, okay. I enjoy his podcast quite a bit, and I think he does really good.
Jared, you have 2 minutes on the floor.
I think he does pretty good.
Instant nerd roundtable,
insightful interviews with you know, questions that actually kind of get to the heart of things. And he's very interested in process. Like he recently did an interview, which was also a cover story for Wired magazine with Andy Samberg, and it was good. It was less about, you know, surface level stuff like what are you into, blah blah blah. It was more like, what do you think about comedy? How, you know, the process of comedy and how comedy is getting out to people now via the internet and stuff like that. I liked it a lot, and I think he's kind of a good interviewer in that respect.
I feel like I realize I'm in the minority of people that, you know, I still like Chris Hardwick. I just don't like the podcast. I like when he's on other people's podcasts. I feel like he asks the same question every time, just with a different.
And the question is what?
Same questions. Okay. Just, you know, like, I just feel like there's like a template that
I can. I will grant you that.
And until he starts talking smack about Jenny McCarthy, I don't want to hear anything.
Does he ever talk? Does he ever talk about Jenny McCarthy on his show?
I've heard him talk about her, and he never has anything. No bad things to say about anyone.
Yeah.
He tends to be a pretty positive guy.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times when it comes to pseudo celebrities or, you know, that level of celebrity, they tend to be pretty complimentary. Just because you don't want to piss anybody off. You want him on the show. Sure. If he can get Christina Aguilera on the show, which I guarantee he doesn't like her music, he's going to get her on the show, you know, so you have to sort of walk that middle line. And I think it's also a respect thing with people in your industry as well.
I don't think he'd go after Christina Aguilar.
I'm just saying, if he could get Christina Aguilar on the show, he probably would.
Three years ago, maybe.
Now, no.
Jared, we need to tweet him. Ask him.
He
Chris
actually did respond to me once.
Really?
Because he's been doing a lot of live shows. I mean, the podcasts have been recordings of live, like, interviews and stuff like that. And there's been some issues with the audio levels.
Yeah, like, I saw that you tweeted something.
So I tweeted something about it. He actually responded to me and said, it doesn't work, the two of you know, but thanks for the idea. I'm like, all right, yeah, cool. Because I figured I couldn't respond to him because he didn't follow me. But yeah. It was a direct message.
Nice.
Well, he knows I'm alive.
Oh, my goodness. And everybody, Chris Hardwick is here, coming down
wow.
the stairs.
Oh, hey.
That's what I'm leading into. Awesome. Followed by Donald Glover.
Wow, I wish I hadn't shit all over his interviewing yeah, skills.
You are terrible, Chris Hardwick. But thanks for being here. So you're doing the opposite of what he does.
Yeah.
So
it's the other way to get known. Be nice to everyone or just be a dick.
Yeah, exactly. So I liked the Chris Hardwick show. I thought he was very fast on his feet.
Yes.
I think
good
in terms
interaction
of
with the crowd.
Interaction with the crowd, very quick improvisationally, which a lot of comedians aren't that way. You know, they may be able to, you know, go over their 30-minute set that they have, but to actually go off script and sort of comment on what's going on around them, it's more difficult. Maybe with the exception of hecklers, because then they probably have a script for that, too. But what about the Donald Glover show? Did both of you go to that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So how did that differ from, like, a Chris Hardwick show?
Well, it was a lot less comedy. A
lot less comedy. So was
a lot more rapping.
Really?
Yeah, it was more music and less comedy. I thought it was actually going to be the reverse, but yeah. I didn't realize he had, like, 300 songs.
Yeah. Oh, so he's a musician himself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Childish Gambino.
Childish Gambino. His,
okay, I've heard you talk about that.
Shane, they're playing Bonnaroo this year. Come on.
Bonnaroo?
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
Yeah, it's, I mean, see, I knew going into it that it was going to be more of that, just because, I follow his blog, and he had talked kind of about the setup a little bit. And I realized in the morning that we were going, a couple of people that we were going with had emailed me, and they're like, have you guys listened to his music before? This is really good.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, right.
There's music.
Not everyone knows that he does music. Yeah. So yeah, I tried to find a couple of places where his stuff's streaming to send to everyone so they knew what they were getting into. And yeah, so I mean, it was probably, what do you say, like 30 minutes of stand-up slash sketch slash storytelling or name-dropping?
Yeah, it wasn't a lot of comedy.
Right. Yeah.
It was, I was amused by it. It wasn't all, you know, like super laugh out loud jokes, but I don't think it was intended to be that.
You're entertained there.
Yes.
It was kind of like the Chappelle show a little bit where, because he's black, where
it always goes back to that.
He talks.
Surprised you didn't say it was like the Jeffersons.
Tells a story, and then there'll be like some sort of interactive thing happening on, like there's a video thing that happens, and then it comes back. And so, I mean, I like the setup and flow of that. It's, you know, better than just, you know, watching stand-up, I think, in a lot of cases. And I think it plays better to his skills. I've seen his stand-up before, or I've seen clips of his stand-up, and, you know, he's a funny guy, and you can tell he's funny, but I feel like the structure of a stand-up doesn't play to his strengths as much as this other stuff does.
Yeah, so getting the multimedia elements in there and having some videos where he was, you know, talking to, right before his musical set, he had a video where he was talking to Featured On, which was a future version of himself, and a giant mustache and a hook hand. And he's trying to
things that not go well.
He's trying to convince him not to play music because terrible, terrible things will happen if he does this.
And he did the funniest part of it, like there was a commercial that he did for like a swing set manufacturer, and their whole thing was it makes it easier for child predators to steal kids.
Oh my god!
This is what would happen if he performed music, apparently.
And then so and then that kind of wrapped around because he left stage, you know, when he was like talking to himself, and then this whole thing played for like 5 minutes, and then it was that led into the, so there was no opener, you know, like he opened for
himself.
He
did his own thing.
Yeah. There was no time in between bands. That was this is the dumbest thing to say for someone that likes live music, but I don't like the aspects of live music, like people being dicks and the waiting around for no real reason. I mean, I get set up and everything, but a lot of times there's just waiting to kind of build energy, and it's like, can we
just get to it?
Yeah, I'm here.
The rapture's coming, for Christ's sake. And time is limited.
He started relatively on time. I mean, the show was at 8, and I think it started 8:10 or something like that.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah. These are weird things that, for whatever reason, I pay attention to. And then he went into, a decently long opening set, probably 9 songs, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then a 7-song encore after that.
Wow.
Which, it was the last
a long
stop.
Encore.
Yeah, it was the last stop on the tour.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So he probably brought even a different, more different energy. More different. A
maybe.
Different energy.
I've watched excitement. Clips online. He does a really cool song. I don't like the real version, but the song he did with Reggie Watts, who's beatboxing on the,
right,
on
right.
the video screen. I really like that version of the song better than the real version. And Reggie Watts, I just like him in general. And there's a couple of videos on YouTube of, you know, him performing it at various venues, and the audio is pretty good. So, like, yeah, I mean, he was kind of the same level of energy from what I could see from that. Shirts off through half the set.
Yeah.
Any mention of Joel McHale?
No. In his songs, he mentions Rashida Jones twice and Alison Brie.
There was Alison Brie mentions in the opening comedy bit.
Gotta like her.
Which was weird because, like, the way that he brought it up was like, no, that's not working the way that it's just weird. yeah. And there's another show where he starts mentioning people's whatever. And anyway, like,
I know at least one of his songs has mentions of Aubrey Plaza.
That's what I was thinking of. And Aziz Ansari in the same song. But it's not
a Parks and Rec song.
It's like everybody hangs out, I guess. Yeah. These small group of cutting-edge comedians / writers.
Maybe.
These people on these, you know, struggling NBC comedies. Yeah. Getting renewed,
tight,
but have terrible ratings.
Tight-knit
still.
Group.
But before, we were at the bar kind of talking about it. And Molly, friend of the show, she was with us. And she was like, so is this like gimmick, joke, novelty comedy, singing, music? And... It is kind of an interesting, not a genre, because it's definitely rap or hip hop, but it's not like nerdcore.
No,
I wouldn't say it's just that he uses like a lot of pop culture references so that it seems like it's whatever. I don't know what you would call it, novelty rap or whatever.
Pop rap, novelty,
but, like,
pop rap.
I think this is legitimate for him, and
yeah.
I think that if he had a choice, this is what he would be doing.
Rather do
and
music.
The songs are funny in that some of the metaphors and references are just so freaking absurd and crazy that you laugh.
Yeah. Yeah,
but it's not necessarily a joke. You know,
right.
I don't know.
You know, sounds
it's
interesting.
Like lines like "an elephant never forgets, so my dick remembers everything."
Yes, or "Japanese girls too tsunami." You know, like too soon.
Gotcha.
Tsunami.
Yeah.
There we are.
Like that.
I don't think you would have had fun, Jane. I don't think you would have liked it.
I'm confused. It's completely different than what I thought it expected to hear you guys talk about. I thought it would be mostly comedy.
It was not.
No.
That's what I would have wanted to see.
But it was fun for me. I mean, I'm kind of surprised at how much people knew the songs there.
Did you notice it was almost entirely girls that knew all the songs?
Oh, was it?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Was it a full house there? I mean.
They said it was sold out, so whatever.
Yeah, where was it at?
Varsity. Yeah,
Varsity again.
Same.
Okay.
What was the seating arrangements like for Hardwick?
It was just folding chairs
throughout the main floor.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. No tables.
No tables.
They do so many weird things at that place, because when we went to go see Policy in a Pint, it was like that, folding chairs, and then like the booths along the side.
Yeah.
They had those.
They even stripped the booths out this time.
When Jess and I went to go see Michael Showalter there from the state and everything, they had booths along the side. And then folding chairs with tiny tables in the center.
Weird.
Weird.
And then this time they had nothing in the center because it was, you know.
The aisle to walk in. Maybe that's what they're going to do for now. Did they have beer guys selling during the show? Because they had it during Chris Hardwick's show.
No, you couldn't get through there. So Adam was on the floor with his gang. Thomas and I, who I went to the show with, friend of the show, Thomas. We were up on one of the sides and had grabbed some of the seats, the only few seats that were in the place. And it was like that ring of cushy seats along the perimeter.
Yeah.
So we were early enough that we could grab a couple of those. And that's where we camped out.
So you wound up standing, though, right?
We ended up standing for like the last song but for the most part, people didn't stand on platform in front of us.
I was kind of
impressed because I looked across and people were standing up over there. I'm like,
side.
That sucks. But yeah.
Nice.
So we got to like kind of just chill and just take in the show, which was cool.
One thing I will say is that the behavior of the crowd was by far the best that I've dealt with at a show in the last year or so.
Yeah.
Like when I think
politeness rules.
Like everyone was just nice. You know, like people were dancing, but you know, they were, you know, subdued for the most part. I definitely got hit with a girl's purse a couple times, but whatever.
I was hoping you'd say boob, but purses.
It might have been a boob too. Who knows?
A big bulky
bag of some sort.
Like no one was getting dragged out. No one was you know, fighting or intentionally like throwing beers at each other. And I've seen all these things happen in the past few months. So it's nice to.
And you were at the center of all of them.
Well, yeah. I'm antagonizing him and everything.
Course, I can say there was a pool of empty PBR tall boys about 5 feet away from us up on the platform. As the night progressed, it got worse and worse. And there was a dude up there who looked a lot like John Goodwin from The Big Lebowski, who was just really enjoying the show quite a bit.
Pounding his PBRs. That's so bizarre. That's the hipster drink, right?
The funny part is this was one moment that had nothing to do with the show, but it was just happened in front of us where we were sitting. Because we're on a platform, you know, it's probably 2.5 feet tall, whatever. Yeah. It's a big step to get up. And some gentleman in a t-shirt and shorts I think it was a PBR because that's what everyone was drinking. It seemed like tried to get up on the step, apparently missed it, fell basically on his face.
Oh, no.
Did not spill his drink.
Drink survives.
Drink
face is flattened and bloody.
He just did
bloody.
A face plant. And everyone around us was just kind of looked like, what the fuck just happened?
This is a disaster.
The guy just ate it. And then he just kind of got up and walked away towards the bar.
Yeah. Right back for more.
Never saw him again.
Never. He's dead. They killed him. Well, sounds interesting. Jared, thank you for not inviting me.
It was an interesting show. I liked it. It's like I didn't quite know what to expect. And I knew going in that there was going to be a lot of the songs that I just didn't know. But it was fun to watch.
Yeah. I would like when he comes back to town, I'll definitely go again. And I like what they're doing with the Varsity, with more acts that I'd like to see, because it's a venue that I just like in general.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a good place.
Architecture in Helsinki next month.
Very nice. We teased that band as a coming soon band not too long ago. Well, guys, hopefully you'll enjoy this show as much as you enjoyed that show. We've got a new bit, completely original from what I understand. It's called What Would You Do? What Would You Rather?
What are you calling it?
I just dropped my pen and I was gone. It's Would You Rather. I have a bunch of different names for this, but essentially...
It's called Fuck, Marry, Kill. Let's be honest.
Oh, okay. I know this game.
Something like that, yes. We're also reviewing the new Beastie Boys album a couple weeks late, but we are reviewing it nonetheless. And we'll also cover all the news and latest releases and all that jazz as well, as we do every single show. So it should be a good one. Let's push on with more of 109, Jared.
Yeah.
Show 109. Yeah. Getting close to 200.
Yeah.
Right.
We're closer to 200 than to zero.
Exactly. So let's take a break and we'll be back with more right of this.
Once again, it's time for another edition of the Scope Male Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Today's euphemism is tiddlywinker. That was the Scope Male Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Now, back to the show.
Everybody, we're back with more Scope podcasting action. Very exciting.
Almost applause.
Very, very exciting. So, guys, it's easy, right? You just pick one thing or another. Well, it's not so easy in this new segment, Jared. Would you rather?
New for us.
new for us.
Name one other place that's ever done this.
Jordan, go.
All right.
I've never heard it done. So I'm saying everyone's copying us.
Okay.
Really, this is a situation. I will be giving Jared, Adam, and myself two crazy options, and we have to pick one of them.
Are they positive options or negative options? A mix of both?
It's a mix of everything. And I even wrote some questions that might be only answerable by one person. Specific.
Is there a correct answer in every indicator?
No, there is not.
Yes, there is.
Then we're doing it wrong.
There should
be a correct answer every time.
Well, maybe there is after we go through it. These are moral dilemmas.
I will tell you when you are wrong.
These are not a choice of superpowers. These are moral dilemmas.
Sometimes there might be a choice of superpowers.
Okay.
So let me ask you, do you like the title, Would You Rather, or maybe the Scope Sophie's Choice?
I can't pick this.
That's the first question. Would you rather call it Would You Rather, or
I
the Scope
go-
Sophie's Choice.
I'm going with Would You Rather just because that's how I've heard it referred to in the past. On other shows.
It's never been done, Jared. You've never heard it referred to before.
Jane, I come from the future.
You and Donald Glover. Do you have a hook hand as well?
Yes. And future Don, who also...
He had two hook hands.
Future Jared. Okay, so I've got a list of 26 things. I tried really hard not to think of them.
One for every letter of the alphabet.
We don't have to go through them all.
But are they in pairs? Or are they in what? How you got the set?
Okay, so I will say, would you rather dot dot dot? I won't say dot 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 every time. What's
will
that called? An ellipse?
Ellipses.
Ellipses, and then I would give the question, and then we'll just toss it around the room.
Okay,
just like
so. Some of them are specific to one person, but the rest are. We're gonna each give our answer.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll just
should
start.
We like write it down first, then explain, so that we're not copying each other?
No.
We just have an open dialogue.
It's an open dialogue. It's kind of like a scope round table.
Okay, but you're gonna put me in the soundproof booth, and then
okay, you're gonna leave the room. Jared, have you constructed the soundproof?
I was gonna say I need to stop booth? By Home Depot to pick up some lumber and some soundproofing material.
Plexiglass, perhaps, so Adam could see out the soundproof.
Two layers with air trapped in between.
Yeah. Hey, we're talking about you asshole.
Pipe in music to my headphones. Wow, there we go. I can't hear anything else.
What? Soundproof booth going. Okay, so question one. Would you rather live for a day in the age of dinosaurs or live for a day in the year 3011?
Is this how these are all going to go?
No.
I was going to say that regardless.
This is an easy choice.
3011?
Or dinosaurs.
Wait,
So 1,000 years from now or millions of years ago, a day. And let's just say that you're not going to go and necessarily be eaten by dinosaurs. I think the assumption is that you could come back.
Okay.
You're not going to get stuck there like Terra Nova or something
so
like
that.
So
when you say live for a day, this is you're going there for a day and coming back. You're not going there, living for a day, and then that's the end of your life.
Yeah, no. Nothing to do with end of your life.
I think that alters the decision.
Does it? Okay, so talk me through it then.
Well, I think if you're gonna go there for a day and die, I would probably go to the past and check out the dinosaurs because you only live a day. Fuck it, I don't need to know what happens in the future. But
what you're gonna miss out on
if you're gonna live, just go there for a day and then come back. I'm dying to know what happens 1,000 years from now, so I'm going to the future.
Would you use that like to your advantage, like maybe sneak something back or just get some ideas? And
I would be taking lots of notes. Obviously.
Lots of notes. Jared's got his pen and pad.
No, the rule should be you forget details.
So you're making the rules now.
You can't change. Oh. You can't change your life when you come back here.
Yeah, you could really. It's a butterfly effect, Jared. Have you ever
I
heard of it?
I still think I would go even not have being able to retain knowledge of my my adventure. I think I would still opt to go 1,000 years in the future.
What about you, Adam?
I don't believe in the way the space-time continuum would work that 3001 or 3011 exists already. So the only actual choice is to go back in time to the dinosaurs, which did happen.
So you're only going to a place that you can guarantee it's going to be there.
Yeah. What if I go to 3011 and the rapture has already happened and I'm going into nothing? It'd be like that episode of Family Guy where Stewie and what's his name go and there's nothing.
Brian. That would scare me as well. You know, there's no guarantee that 3011 is going to be better than 2011.
And it's more far away.
True enough.
It's more far away.
You know, what if you go and it's the worst thing you've ever seen? Granted, also, it's only 24 hours.
Could I take a picture
and you
of
won't
myself?
Remember it, so it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Can I take a picture of myself with the dinosaurs?
Of course you can.
But what about my rule about before not being able to... Because if I could do that...
Well, you're setting your own very complicated set of rules up that I don't necessarily have to live by.
We're going to get into this level of detail with everyone, all 26 of these.
Okay, the show is going to be 45 hours long.
Are we talking Cretaceous, Jurassic? Which epoch are we talking about?
You pick your era. I know that's different than an epoch. Or
technically...
epoch is... that's coming out from Apple next month.
This is a trick question because technically dinosaurs still exist because all birds are dinosaurs.
So you're not going anywhere. They're staying here.
Shane, I really want to know what an iPad 28 looks like. So I'm going 1,000 years.
Strangely enough, it looks a lot like it does now, except slightly thinner.
Yes. It's same size screen. It just has 3,000 million pixels on it.
And it's got a different colored magnetic cover.
That's good to
know. Now with yellow.
ICP.
They have yellow in the future? This is stuff I need to know.
In the future, ICP proved that magnets don't actually exist.
Whoa.
No magnets in the future.
Right.
Hey, Adam.
Yeah.
What are you going to pick, Shane?
I think I'm picking the past. I'm going to go in the past just because the past, you know what you're getting. Unless you're
what's the point of going then?
It's a known quantity.
Look, as long as they have a McDonald's there, I'm good to go.
I need a McRib. They better have it at the age of the dinosaurs.
I want to know what a future McRib is.
Come on. I want to know what a past McRib is.
You're going to have to kill that thing yourself.
Have you ever seen the Flintstones? It's just like a giant rib.
just your car keels over. Your foot-powered stone car falls
I want to see what a stone car looks like.
There. You know what? For what it's worth, there is something to be said about Jared going to the future because we've already seen Jurassic Park. We've basically already seen the dinosaurs.
Steven Spielberg has answered this
question.
You
know that they spared no expense in the past.
We spared no expense. Would you like to have some ice cream? We spared no expense.
They did spare an expense. They spared getting the DNA right so that the
We didn't spare an expense on the buffet. Right. We spared expense on the key portion of the whole
on
the whole trip.
On the security
on
of
security,
the island.
On the dinosaurs. We gave the dinosaurs giant brains to escape any pen that we would put them in.
But here's the problem. As Jeff Goldblum says, nature, if it finds a way.
It does.
They made too many clever girls. That was the biggest.
Clever girl.
Moving on.
Adam, would you rather watch a live-action Transformers movie or a live-action G.I. Joe movie?
I've done both of these.
Okay, so...
I like the live-action G.I. Joe movie way more.
He liked it.
That's easy for me.
Jared.
Wow. I mean, are we talking the existing ones, or are we talking...
Yes, we're talking existing ones. So let's say you pick... How about this? I'll set up the rules for you. You pick your favorite Transformers live-action movie, which I'm assuming would be the first one. And you pick your favorite live-action sure. G.I. Joe movie, which would be the first one.
Yes.
So the best ones, the very best Transform movie, the very best G.I. Joe live-action movie.
Which one would you rather watch? The G.I. Joe movie more than I liked the first Transformers film, so I would have to go with G.I. Joe. Simple answer.
Like, I understand all the critiques of that movie, because it wasn't really G.I. Yeah. Joe in any way. But for a terrible action movie, I thought it was way better than the Transformer movie.
Plus, there are more hot chicks in G.I. Joe than there was in Transformers.
G.I. Joe, as I recall, left me feeling nothing.
Not anger.
I didn't hate it, but I just felt, you know, apathetic. Transformers, I felt like, what the hell just happened to me? Why did I just get kicked in the nuts? Which I'm going to do again for free. But yeah, I think I'm with you guys. I think G.I. Joe the movie.
I kind of want to go back and watch that. Weirdest choice of an actor for a villain.
He's not coming back, and they need.
I didn't know they're making a sequel.
Yeah, I think that movie needs to be completely retooled. By the way, I think it needs to be. I mean, I think the original concept works well. You don't need to make Cobra Commander have like this weird transparent skull mask. Very bizarre.
He can just be a bad guy with lots of money. I mean,
exactly. A bad guy with lots of money.
He wears a hood on his head.
A James Bond villain, though.
Here's a good one for
you.
Yeah. Find true love or find $10
million? $10
million. Jared.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Assuming you've found true love already.
Oh, No.
Would you trade Mandy in for $10 million?
Well, you're going to put a name? Yeah, probably.
She doesn't listen.
Right.
Texting Mandy.
Edit this real quickly. Mandy.
Listen to the next show. You will get many surprises. Okay, so let's set it up. You haven't found true love.
Okay.
None of you have found true love.
Okay.
Assuming you're not with your current person. I'm not with my current person. Would you want true love or would you want $10 million, Jared?
Like, you can still get, like, you know, okay love, right?
You can get decent love.
With fine. That good stipulation, enough. I'm taking the $10
million. Yeah.
$10
million. I think you got... I like an asshole. I think you sort of kind of have to go with the $10 million. You can do a lot of shit with $10 million.
Yeah. This is modern man. This is... Yep. This is probably any era man is or woman. I don't know. Maybe ladies would have a different answer. I'd kind of be interested to have ladies do the exact same questions, mostly because I want to know what Mandy would say about Transformers or G.I.
Of course. Okay, so let's adjust the question a little bit. Yes. Would you rather have Angie, Mandy, or Carrie in your life or $10 million, knowing what you have with them now?
I'd keep it a half. I wouldn't.
Adam?
Well, I mean, most things end. You know?
Yes, he's playing. He's playing. I think you got to keep what you have. Let the dice roll.
I didn't give that as my answer.
Adam says Mandy is expandable. Expandable.
Expendable?
What is going on with me?
She's expandable.
Everyone is expandable, yeah.
With that McRib from the past.
Speaking of expandable, would you rather eat a stick of butter or a gallon of ice cream?
What? A gallon of ice cream?
One sitting. Gallon of ice cream, stick of butter.
How much is a gallon of ice cream?
It's like? Big. It's one of those big containers. It's all
oof. Like the rectangle? Is that a gallon?
No, that's
not even a half gallon.
That's not
anymore.
Even a half gallon.
What?
So
it's shrunk now. It used to be a half gallon.
Two and a half of those things or a stick of butter? One sitting.
You're talking like the big bucket. The big family size
that's
bucket.
That's not a bucket. Gallon, right?
That is a gallon.
Are you sure?
A gallon of ice cream.
Yeah, it might be less than a gallon.
How much is a thing of milk? A normal thing of milk?
A gallon.
That's a gallon?
Yeah.
So yeah, think of a milk jug full of ice cream.
I could do that. Why would you want to eat a stick of butter?
Because eating a gallon of ice cream would be fucking hard. I'd eat the butter. I would eat the butter, not even blank. I could eat a stick of butter without a problem.
Like, I'd eat the ice cream because it's more enjoyable.
Can I put the butter on?
Yeah, it's more enjoyable. It's up to a half gallon into it.
Can
you remember?
You said it one sitting, but is there a time limit on this sitting?
Like, is it going to stay frozen?
Are we speed eating here or what?
No, I would say that...
And am I going to get an ice cream headache?
I would say the butter is soft. The ice cream is stays frozen. You're eating ice cream.
It's what not, about... Could I have, like, not biscuits? Ice soup. Could I have biscuits? Like, I bet I could probably put, like, almost a quarter of a stick of butter
no
on
biscuit,
one hot biscuit.
No biscuits. You're ripping off the top of the wax paper of the butter stick. Oh, and
I'm not... No, I would eat ice cream.
I still eat the ice cream. Mm.
You are insane. Why would you...
Because you could probably eat that butter in about a minute.
No.
That ice cream, it would take you...
Who cares? What am I doing?
Next scope show, 2 gallons of ice cream, one stick of butter.
Look.
No excuses.
Let me ask you this. Do I have the complete series of Firefly on DVD in front of me while I eat the ice cream?
No, you have nothing. No. You're eating...
I'm just going to avoid eating ice cream.
You are in 3011 eating ice cream.
Yeah.
You might have your friends sitting around.
Well, I won't remember it because we've already stipulated that I won't remember that day. So fine, I mean the ice cream.
There's nothing to a stick of butter. You could a soft stick of butter? Come on.
Gross. Also, how is it soft and a stick of butter? Right? If it's soft, then... Oh, you're talking like soft serve or not soft serve.
No, but. It's a stick of butter that's not been in the fridge, you know?
Oh, okay.
Come on.
It's not a stick anymore. It's kind of a
6 minute abs. For Christ's sake.
No. Why would you... Like, have you ever like just taken a hunk of butter in your mouth?
Yes! All the time.
What's wrong with you?
I think that you are I think you are totally underestimating how difficult it would be to eat a gallon of ice cream.
I have unlimited time. What do I care?
Ice cream. I'm with Adam.
We're doing this. Would you eat a gallon of ice cream as a contest?
How are we going to keep it frozen?
I don't know. That's a good... Okay, so
yes,
it melts.
I would do this.
Okay, if you want to eat a gallon of melted ice cream, be my guest. Have you ever seen Man versus Food?
Yeah.
How difficult it is for him to eat dairy products. He has said, gone on record as saying, the hardest thing to eat is dairy.
But
because it just makes you feel sick.
But he has to eat this in a time. I could take a month to eat this.
You're not taking a month. That's not how it works. You're sitting there till it's gone, and you're not getting anything else until it's done.
Have you seen Adam sit? He can sit for a long time.
Yeah. If it's in his name, for Christ's sake, he can sit a long time.
We're
doing that. We're not going to do it like at a New Year's Eve party,
no.
But we're doing this. Right. You're going to eat a fucking gallon of ice cream.
Wow.
I'm writing this down. Show idea.
I mean, I'm given the two choices, I'm still taking the ice cream, but yeah. I'm not in real life. I'm not accepting that challenge. But Adam will. I love it.
I will.
I can't wait. I'm going to set up a streaming webcam.
Yes, this is going to push our show over the top.
I like that. I like that in the 90s or I guess early 2000s, it was kids copying Jackass.
Yeah.
Now it's adults, somewhat adults.
We need
copying Man versus Food.
We need to work some sort of promotion around this because
sponsorship.
Last year,
Blue Bunny.
Last year, Paul and Storm were trying to push their Twitter followers over 10,000. They said if once they passed 10,000, that Storm of Paul and Storm would eat an entire Fudgy the Whale ice cream cake from Carvel's ice cream.
He couldn't do that. That'd be very hard.
Did he do it?
He took it down.
Oh, that's more than a gallon.
And I'm just saying is that there needs to be an incentive for if people want to see this happen, we need to work some sort of way around.
We could do this
at
the trivia thing, at the finale.
During the trivia, and you know, Adam, do you remember, this is slightly inside, but I'll try to make it
yes, general. I remember when Russ ate an entire jar of olives.
We had a guy who had, he said, I could do massive eating, no problem. And so
it was specific because we went to Pizza Luce, and if you've ever been to Pizza Luce, they bring out your pizza and they set it on a
like giant, a coffee can, right?
Yeah, bigger than a coffee can sized jar of olives.
Black olives, sliced.
Yeah. Okay.
And this guy said, oh, I could easily eat an entire can of sliced olives. So he...
It's probably a gallon, actually.
It probably was about a gallon, maybe a little less than that. I mean, packed with water, but still, there's a lot of stuff there. So during the lunch, and I figured he...
It's packed in olive oil.
He probably thought that he could do this in an hour. I don't know what it was, but so he, you know, he gets the can opener, takes this off, and he probably ate about an inch worth of olives, and he was done. That was it. And there were probably...
He also...
There probably was 8 inches of olives there.
He also ate 9 years of his salt intake in that inch, though. So, I mean, that's...
I think that you are so crazy that you could eat a gallon of ice cream at one sitting. I think you are... You are bonkers.
Well, let's
set God, up. It makes me angry. Adam is so smart, but right now he's the dumbest mother effer on the planet. Where's the raptor to come and get you? You would not be. God is not looking down on you in a positive way right now.
He never
now.
Has.
I watch so many reality shows about eating food. Trust me on this.
I want to point out that this started as would you rather, not will you.
No, it turned to will you.
All right.
I mean, it's amazing, Jared, how Adam is willing, to get rid of his girl for $10 million. That's not even a question, but a gallon of ice cream.
Easily.
I mean, that's a debatable
issue. I don't think how much ice cream you'd buy with $10 million. I'm serious. We need to incentivize this somehow. Make it an event.
Yes.
Moving on.
Okay.
We got to get to the next one.
Here's another time travel question. Yeah. Jared, would you rather be filthy rich in 1850 or middle class in 2011?
Ooh. Interesting choice.
Can I ask some questions?
You can ask questions. We'll see if I'll answer them.
What? So
you have to eat a gallon of ice cream.
Basically, your life is in 1850.
1850, you are rich.
We're not time traveling there and back. Like, our life ends today as it is, and you're whatever, start again, same age in 1850, just have a lot of money. And you're going to live the rest of your life in 1850.
Sure, but I think that there's awareness.
Fuck it. I would not. Okay, sorry.
You have awareness.
Okay.
So you're aware of your former life and
what you're
missing out on, like, you know, television.
Yeah. I think that has
computers.
To be. Because, you know, even in 1850, if you're filthy rich, you can live a pretty good life. But
is there TV or video games?
There's not that. Well, but I'm sure you could, you know.
Solved.
I mean, you could have solved. It's done.
Well, that's a tough choice. It's like, okay, how do I amuse myself? I mean, there's lots of money. I'm sure you could have plenty of live theater,
a lot of plays, perhaps.
Probably killing men,
death sports, exactly. Yeah.
Games, yes, games. Parcheesi probably was.
You could invent.
If you could invent video games in 1850, do it.
Did the Japanese exist in 1850?
They did. Japanese were around in 1850, as far as I know.
Is
John Nintendo there?
Yes. You know, for as much as the modern world Morihito has to offer Nintendo. Us as far as entertainment goes and possibility, I think I would take Filthy Rich on 1850.
Really?
Yeah. I'm
no implant, no breast implants in 1850.
That's okay. You could still afford the finest women around, Shane.
Jared, you could start American Idol in 1850.
I certainly could.
You could be the Simon Cowell of 1850.
I could take my knowledge of now and go back and invent a whole bunch of shit before Thomas Edison got his greedy hands on it. That's for sure.
Here's something else to think about. Your life expectancy will probably be shorter.
Yes, sure. Because medicine. But I would not be taking as many risks because I wouldn't have to.
Jared become plump and safe.
Yeah, your manservant can go to take the risks for you.
Yes.
Jeeves.
I'm going with Rich in 1850. Fuck it.
Adam?
No. There's no better time than now. No matter what time now is, it's always better.
I'm kind of with Adam. I like 2011 middle class. Like my chances of living longer.
The middle class in America won't exist for much longer. So
yeah, it's gone.
But
like dinosaurs.
Dying breed. Yeah.
I love it. Let's keep going. Give up your computer or give up TV shows.
But you could watch
No. All TV shows, you cannot watch them on your computer.
Like, what about any when it comes out on DVD?
Movies still around? Yeah. You just said TV shows, so I'm assuming movies and music are still around. Fuck it. I'm giving up TV shows. Keep my computer.
Yeah.
Easy choice. Moving on. Let's
Adam,
go.
Adam.
Same.
Giving up
TV shows. Even if the rule was TV shows and movies.
How about all entertainment items that you could buy at Best Buy? Music, movies, TV, video games.
Or computer? But what?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, basically, you have a web browser. That's the only thing you get to do on your computer.
Yeah, you could read news stories. Sure, why not?
But you can't watch YouTube? Because someone may have uploaded a Smurfs cartoon.
Can't watch a Smurfs cartoon. If Jared did a reenactment of a Smurfs cartoon, you could watch that.
But what if he started...
By the way, look that up. It is out there.
I would do it from the 1850s on the, kinetograph that I invented with all of my money.
Jared does a killer imitation of Brainy Smurf, by the way. He paints himself up.
What?
I don't think this is a fair choice.
Pick that, laser brat.
Okay, so you're saying give up anything you would watch on a TV, basically, right? Or
I'll give you music. I'll throw music in there, but you have to give up movies and TV. Anything that you.
But what about video games?
But if I keep television,
no PC video games.
If I keep non-computer based entertainment things, but I can still look at news stories on the web.
Sure,
that seems weird. Seems like a weird
what
choice.
If it's a news story?
Just go with it, 1850s.
I'm just saying that's the choice. I mean, if I still have access to the internet for news and stuff, then I'm good to go.
I'll watch ABC News streamed, but you can read CNN.
But I could watch ABC News on my television.
And what if it's an ABC News story about American Idol?
That's a good question. You can still, that's good. As long as there's not a clip from the show. That's good. I'll allow it. Sorry, we're boring you, Jared. He's yawning. He doesn't like this question.
I'm not I'm not happy with how the parameters of this
okay.
question are changing.
We're skipping it.
It's funny. Like, I feel the same way, Jared, but it is funny like that we are getting upset at this completely made-up question.
It's good stuff is what it is. Okay. Adam, smart guy.
Uh-huh. Do you want me to ask any to you?
No.
Because like you're kind of not answering them fully, so I feel bad.
I answered it. That's
I
right.
know, but you're not getting into it like Jared it. And I are.
All right. How about this? Next time, we'll all write
sure,
up some questions.
Sure.
Be disabled and smart. Or able and stupid?
Oh, we all, I mean, I already am able and stupid, so that's fine. Like, how smart?
I would say pretty smart.
And how disabled?
Are we talking like a Stephen Hawking type situation?
Yeah, let's go Stephen Hawking or...
Brock Lesnar. No, he's probably like, he's
fairly savvy. Right. We need to get somebody who's really dumb.
Ooh, like that
really handsome and really dumb.
So you get to be handsome. That's new.
Okay, yeah, that's true. So, no, so okay. You're able. You're just, let's say, you're able and you've got an IQ of, what's borderline?
Well, 100 is the 100. Writer.
So. 101. Able, 101, disabled, and 200.
What kind of disability are we talking? We said can't move?
Stephen Hawking?
Let's say you're confined to a wheelchair. You can move your hands, but you're confined to a wheelchair.
Do you get lots of sympathy, sex? Do you get lots of sympathy sex from being in a wheelchair?
Well, you're smart, so you probably could connive something.
And like you're like you look the same. Like you look like
a normal dude.
in both scenarios.
You see guys like maybe your legs are a little atrophied.
Are you smart enough to fix your legs or build robot legs?
No. Okay. Build robot legs? No. That would defeat the whole thing.
I know.
You got an IQ of 160, so that's pretty damn smart.
Okay. Just like normal smart people. I feel like I already have a 160.
160 is like genius.
Yeah, it's a genius. It's a genius.
I think that's right.
I think 140 is the cutoff for genius.
That's Mensa's level or whatever.
Well, Adam's got a different. He's got a whole different scale. Find that on the scope. the scale of IQ.
Ugh, I think I'm going able-bodied and dumb. I don't know. I just
the world is really bad for disabled people.
It really is. Until they got hover chairs going.
Yeah. Can I invent hover chairs?
If you can do it at 160, yeah, knock yourself out.
Probably kill me. That's not smart enough.
I think this is a tough question.
Yeah.
What's the correct answer?
Right. I don't know if there is a correct
answer.
I'm sort of leaning
on the key somewhere.
I'm leaning towards Jared because, yeah. I mean, I've met people with IQ of 100. They can exist in the world.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're fine.
Yeah.
You probably, one of us three probably is at that level. Not it.
No backs. Pick one and then let's move on.
I would take dumb and good looking. Is that an option?
No, it's able.
Okay, yeah, dumb
able and stupid.
Sure.
Hey, Jared, would you rather own an iPad or a MacBook Air?
What?
Pick one. All things being equal, right now you've got what you got, but if you could own an iPad or a MacBook Air, what would it be?
I'd probably go iPad.
Adam?
MacBook Air.
Why?
You can do way more, you can actually do stuff with it.
I can't answer this question because I have an iPad, so I'd probably pick your button. I mean, I'm sort of stuck. I don't need another one. MacBook Air for me.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Why would you want to... What?
I've already got several laptops. I don't need more laptops.
He doesn't need more laptops.
I'd rather have an iPad.
I don't have any tablets. I'd rather have... And I have two laptops. I'd still rather have a MacBook Air.
All right.
They smell so nice.
Would you rather get dumped by text or dumped in front of your friends?
Oh, text.
Oh, yeah. Text. Easily. Definitely.
Right?
Would you be crushed?
I mean, it would hurt, but then at least you could be like,
you could do
there's
it
no
in solitude.
Yeah.
You could hang yourself in solitude.
Because like, if I got dumped in front of my friends, they would laugh at me.
Well, why do they laugh in front of you now?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
You don't need more of that.
I don't like confrontation, so I'd much rather be dumped.
That's easy for Jared. Yeah, have you ever been dumped by text?
I've never been dumped.
Have you ever dumped anyone by text?
No. All the ladies that I used to date,
they're dead.
They just don't
you
know.
You dumped them with a knife in the
they
back.
They just don't know. They're still waiting for my call.
dumped them in the garbage. Jared's never been dumped by text, I don't believe.
No.
Thank goodness. Me either. I probably with you guys. Text seems to be
if
the
you have
answer.
Been dumped by text, we would love to hear it. Please leave us a voicemail at
612-21-SCOPE.
Let's get back to this stick of butter and gallon of ice cream. I mean, that's really where the energy is at on this show.
We peaked early.
I thought that was a throwaway question. I thought that was a throwaway
you just
question.
You assumed everyone was going butter.
Yeah, I figured like, duh.
Gross. I can't, you know, like, all I imagine right now is going home and just licking a stick of butter like it's a popsicle and just throwing up.
Ugh. No, it just melts in your mouth, baby. It's the opposite of... It melts in your mouth and in your hands.
Gross.
and I'll let you pick salted or unsalted butter. Doesn't matter. Here's a good one. You meet the perfect woman.
Yep.
She is everything you could ask for.
Done.
It's soft serve ice cream, by the way, right?
No. This is a gallon of ice cream.
I didn't agree to
soft
any of that.
Soft serve is all air. That's like 90% air.
That was my whole basis.
Wrong, sir. I'm holding the list. So you've met the perfect woman.
Okay.
She's everything you could ever ask for.
Doesn't agree.
You're assuming we're all straight.
Would you rather... Sorry. Adam meets the perfect...
Right. Just being. Just yeah. perfect being.
Being the perfect being.
They have both holes. Both parts.
This being... would you rather marry this being if this person was 6'4" or 4'8"?
They're not perfect if they're one of those.
Everything. Mentally, face, you know, they got a smoking bod. One just has a really short version of that bod. One has a very tall version of that bod. 6'4", 4'8", go.
6'4".
Adam.
Easily. I like tall women.
4'8". But I don't want to get married to them.
4'8" for me, too.
Yeah. I like to be able to dominate.
I should have picked Jared
them.
8'4". Like
I'm 6', so 6'4" is only you, 4 inches taller than
okay,
me. It's
how
not
about,
even that big a deal.
Okay, Jared, how about 3 foot tall or 8 foot tall?
3. 8 foot.
Okay. 2 foot tall or 7 foot tall?
Either way, I'm going to get looks.
You want a girl you can fit in your pocket, or you want a girl that you can ride like your Yoda and she is Luke Skywalker on Dagobah?
What?
That's how tall she is. You just climb in a little backpack and
also,
she carries you around.
Also, if she's really hot, you have to keep in mind, even 6'4", even though it's not that much taller than you, she'll probably be in 3-inch heels. So
yes, true.
Since, and then 7 inches is pretty
doggy
dramatic.
Style, very difficult with a woman that tall. I mean, you could probably put your knees on a phone book or something like
there,
that.
There are aids you can use. You know, platform systems.
So she has
Jared's getting some sort of pulley system.
I was going to say a series of ropes and pulleys.
All the basic tool, basic machines, whatever.
Look, you just need some inclines to work with.
some sort of foam wedge. Fun times. Let's see here. Would you rather play Super Smash Brothers or Mario Kart? Any Mario Kart, any version of Smash Brothers, you pick it.
Smash Brothers. I always sucked at Mario Kart.
By myself or with people?
The optimum situation. So both of those games are pretty much a multiplayer game.
Yeah.
So
I liked Mario. I'm not good at Mario Kart either, but I like that with people.
My best memories of video games are Mario Kart 64. So if I could go back to those days, I probably liked that.
Yeah. Me too. 64 I liked. It's the Wii one I've never been good at.
Yeah.
Or ones.
Here's a tricky one. Be blind or deaf. Would you rather be blind or deaf? Deaf.
Deaf.
Or deaf.
Definitely deaf.
Deaf. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't want to do a lot more.
Can you still get around easy enough in the world?
I don't know if you can drive a car being deaf. I think there might be issues there.
Maybe. What if you got one of those fancy plates? You can probably do whatever you want.
It's a fancy plate that plugs into your head that gives you hearing. Would you rather watch the Star Wars Special Editions or watch the Matrix Trilogy?
Oh. Star Wars. Easily. I don't mind the Special Editions that much. But you know what? I've been curious. For some reason, The Matrix has come up a lot recently, just in conversations or on other podcasts or whatever.
Maybe it's time to revisit.
I've been curious to watch them again because I own the trilogy, and I've honestly only ever watched the part 2 and 3 in the theaters
when
they came out. So.
Me too.
I think I watched half of the second one again on TV, but the third one I've stayed away
Mandy
from.
Mandy has never fully watched all 6 Star Wars movies. She's seen parts of all of them, and I have this idea to make her watch all 6, but then I'm like, I don't really want to watch all 6. So
coming out in 3D in a few years.
Yeah. There you go.
I think I'd rather watch the Matrix movies, as infuriating as they are.
Really?
I don't know.
You were not born in the 70s.
Wow. All I can say is Matrix Part 3, Neo wasn't in the fucking movie.
Yeah.
It was giant machine gun robots.
Hey, that's cool.
Shooting, well...
This is me not remembering. This is me having seen the Star Wars prequels. Oh, we're not having the prequels.
No,
not the real ones.
Four, five, six.
I'd rather see those. Never mind. Okay. Sorry.
Well, we'll start wrapping these up pretty quick here because we've gone through a lot of questions. So let's start asking the...
Gallon of ice cream.
Okay.
Answer to everything.
Let me look through here. I say die without knowing... Or know that you're going to die?
Die without knowing.
I mean, context. Die without knowing
meaning,
that you're going to die?
Meaning...
It just happens suddenly?
Just happens.
I would rather have that.
Okay.
I would rather not have the
knowledge?
The knowledge that it's coming.
Could you prevent it?
I don't know about that.
Okay. That, I mean, that's the question.
I'm guessing not, since the question is, how do you die?
If you do know when you're going to die, I mean, you can set a lot of things up. You can sort of live your life differently than what you do.
Nah, because then I would just do it myself ahead of time to prove whoever told me this wrong. Sup?
Well, this
but
guy,
by eating a gallon of ice cream, what, perhaps. What?
That's how Adam's going to fight it. Adam is going to die on December 31st, 2011, after I suffocate him with a bucket of ice cream right over his head.
It's okay. You'll have a heart attack from all the cholesterol in your, or the all the whatever.
Here's one for me.
Yeah.
Sell my Star Wars collection, mm-hmm, or sell my Robotech collection?
Oh, you mean this is one from Carrie?
No, this is for me.
Yeah, but it's from Carrie. To you.
Okay, yeah. Shane,
she
you
slipped
are doing
it in. Shane, one of these has to go.
You are doing this.
One of these has to go.
Well, let me ask Jared, what do you think I'll say? Because I think I have an answer to this. Gosh. I had to think about it, but I got an answer.
You have a lot invested in your Star Wars collection. Mm-hmm. But I know Robotech is very, very dear to you.
Yes.
I know the answer.
I think you'd sell your Robotech.
Adam?
You would sell your Robotech ones because you went to Target with me to buy some of the Star Wars ones.
The actual correct answer is I would sell my Star Wars collection.
Really?
Yeah, Robotech's...
Who are you and what are you doing with Shane?
He's gone. This is a new Shane. Yeah, I think the sentimental aspect of it really holds up for me. I mean...
It's more unique, definitely.
It's more unique. It also takes up less space at the end of the day. But, yeah, it's just...
Which one could you get more money for?
Probably the Robotech. Yeah. Probably. I mean, because there's more vintage-type stuff in there. Okay, so I got one for Jared.
Yeah.
This is harder than mine.
Okay.
Participate only in Possible Oscar or only in The Scope?
You want it to.
Wow. This is it.
I don't know.
It's a Sophie's choice.
Wow.
I know the answer to this, by the way.
You do?
I absolutely know the answer to this. Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh. I'd have to go with Possible Oscar.
Yeah, fuck
the band.
You. You're out! Wait, you got to do this. You're in!
Yeah. That one seems obvious.
Jared?
Yeah.
You could only...
Two in a row just for me?
Yeah. Oh. Well, this just popped into my head.
All right.
You could only play the guitar or only play the drums.
I like that every time you ask, you look away. Like, I don't
even... I can't even... Yeah, like, I don't want any tells. No tells.
Now, I know what the right answer is, and I can't let him see that I know the
I've got it written down.
Ooh.
I'm not as good at it, but I think it's overall a more expressive instrument. I think I would have to go only play with guitar.
Did you think that's what it was going to be, Adam?
I had no opinion or thought on this one. I'm cleaning my glasses. Come on. Hi. What?
Hi.
Can you think, is there any other band-related ones that you could throw out for yourself, Jared?
No.
Like, you could front a band or something. You could only front a band, but you can't play the guitar. Yeah, how about this? You're the lead singer of a band, but you don't do any of the writing. All you do is sing.
Yeah.
Or you only write the songs, but don't perform.
Don't perform at all.
Don't perform. Ooh. Yep. So it's total creative control, but the ultimate vision is not yours. Or you are you're the muse for someone else.
This is a good one. Last one was weak.
Yeah, this is a much better question. Because there are aspects to both that I like. Now, this is implied that if I were to take the route where I would be the principal creative vision for for the material, that I would be better at it than I currently am.
Yeah, let's say that you're very good at both of what you do. You'd be a really solid singer or a really solid songwriter.
I would go with songwriter.
Songwriter.
Yeah.
Would you agree with
There's
that?
There's better money in it, too. I think.
Like, it's all about money with
that's
you.
That's true.
I'm just saying, you get a lot of publishing there.
I was going to say, I know that Jared is a huge attention whore, so I'm kind of surprised that...
yeah,
he always wants to be front and center. Adam.
Yes.
Would you rather go to a U2 concert or a Green Day concert?
Green Day concert.
Really?
Yeah. Come on. I hate Bono.
Would you rather go to a U2 concert or a Beatles concert?
Well, the Beatles, they're not around, though. So who's actually performing?
Let's say a U2 concert or a Paul McCartney concert.
Oh, that's boring. Probably U2 because it's the girls. You know.
In the band or?
No, like U2 fans aren't
so you,
old.
You often go to concerts looking at girls.
I only go to concerts.
That really ties into that $10 million question earlier.
I have to go through that list and be like, it's because Mandy's going to be like, what did you guys talk about on the podcast today? And I'll be like, we talked about if I would rather play guitar or drums. Yep, that question was for me.
Yeah.
Here's the last one for you, Adam.
All right.
Would you rather live with attention?
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, live with nothing but bad attention, or live with no attention at all.
No attention at all.
So a lonely, sad, ignored man.
I don't want people to dislike me. Now I'm going to go say the F and the N word a bunch.
Oh, that's funny. So last one for all of us. All
right.
And this is, I'm asking this with the knowledge that you don't know what's going to happen in the future.
Real quick, if that's the last one, can I ask one first?
Oh, of course.
All right, this is to both of you.
My question is, what's on this tape?
That's a good question.
You'll never know. I mean, how would you ever play it?
Yep.
If you had to kick one person off this podcast, and it's not yourself, who is it?
It's you. Of course, well, I would kick you
Adam.
Off the air.
It's
we don't do the podcast without Jared.
I would kick myself off because it's quite a burden.
Well, he's got to dedicate all his time to possible Oscar, of course.
I don't like all this negative attention I'm getting from this question.
So the last question is this. Would you rather have one wish granted today or three wishes granted in 10 years? Not knowing if you'll be here in 10 years. And the one wish can't be more wishes, or I'm going to live 10 years, whatever. You know, it's not, I'm going to live, well, I guess if you want to live forever, you can. But, you know, you're.
Who wants to do that?
Yeah, you're really taking things. So you want, it's kind of like a.
The lottery payout.
Yeah, it's a lottery, you know. You can do a lot more with three wishes than you can with one wish.
I think I'd take my one wish now. And yeah, set myself up for the future.
And what would it be? Just a lot of money?
Probably something along those lines.
But here's the thing. You could do 10 years. If you were sick, if you made it 10 years, you could wish for health. You could wish, I am the guy that decides how I die. And you could wish for infinite money. Whereas, you know, you make one wish now, maybe it's just money, but, oh, look at there, I've got anal cancer. Not going to make it. All the money in the world ain't going to fix that, Jared.
Yeah, it will.
It won't. It will not.
How do you know? How are you such an expert on anal cancer?
I've done a lot of research, my friend.
Could my one
it
wish...
It comes from reading a gallon of ice cream, by the way. One sitting.
I was going to say, could my one wish be that your butter is poison butter?
Yeah.
And it's a stick that always, it just keeps, it never ends. It's a never
it's a
ending
never
poison
so
stick
you're,
of
so you're taking butter. So you're taking a riff from the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory Everlasting Gobstopper, but you're putting it into a stick of butter.
And it's going to turn you into a purple grape.
That does not make sense.
Purple blueberry. Blue.
Maybe like it turns me into a butter churner or something like that. What do you say, Adam? Jared says, take the wish now. Know what you got. You've got a known quantity.
I think you have to take it now because you don't know that you're going to be here in 10 years.
Yeah.
You can do enough with one wish.
Yeah, you could.
I mean, okay, in 10 years, are you going to be like, man, I really wish I had 10 more wishes? Maybe. But maybe by then, with your unlimited money, you have created a wish-making machine.
A wish-making machine.
I've never heard that angle. Wow. I've never heard that angle.
Yeah. I thought a lot about this one.
I can see Adam sitting on the toilet reading his Tiger Beats,
yes.
Old Tiger Beats, and then how do I get around this whole genie thing, you know? Because a genie always says you can't wish for more wishes. But is a wish machine more wishes?
Right. Could you wish for another genie that would allow you to make more wishes? That's the way around it.
I've never thought of that one either. You are really smart.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to kick Jared off the show. I think you're smart enough to put a show together.
And now just dead air for the rest of it. Or just like a buzz.
You and I talking into dead microphones. Why is nothing coming up? All right. I think I'm with Jared. I think I'm going with one wish as well.
Wow, look at that.
But if I had two wishes, guys.
Well, that wasn't an option.
Here's the thing. All three of us get one wish. Like, if we pool our resources, we get three wishes.
I wish for all of us to be rich. I wish for all of us to have... I like it. I like what you're...
I like that in the end, it all came together.
That does it. I think Adam... God, this guy is smart. But if my second wish, Jared, it would be that this bit would end gracefully... And
not likely to happen.
And appropriately.
Okay.
Wish not true. So anyway, that was Would You Rather, Scope style. I hope you guys enjoyed it. This is something we can do again and again and again.
Oh, yeah.
And we will.
I think we should get third parties to write the questions also, that the three of us have an internal debate. That would be my one wish.
We could seal them in envelopes like Carson used to do. We'd rip them open and then...
I don't know about that. I just want some sort of like impartial party to write the questions and also know what the correct answer is.
Okay. So are we soliciting?
Sure. If somebody is willing to do that,
they would have 26 questions for some reason. 26
questions.
You know.
And we went through close to 20 of them. Great. So anyway, yeah, if you guys have some ideas for Would You Rather, send them in, and we will feature them on a future episode of The Scope.
Maybe that'll be the tiebreaker for trivia if there's a tie.
Moral dilemma, a moral quandary. I like it. So let's push on with the rest of the show. Still a lot to come.
Yes.
Let's take a break. Yep. Jared's going to spin some music.
Okay.
We'll come back with Under the Scope after this.
It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Yeah, this week's song comes from the new Lonely Island album, Turtleneck and Chain. This is the second track on the album called Mama. It goes out to all the mamas in the world, so keep it locked right here. Yeah.
This one goes out from the bottom of our hearts to the most important lady in our lives. It's time to pay some respect. I hope you're proud of us, because we're proud of you. Mama, you raised me right. Mama, showed me the light. Mama, through pain and strife. Mama, you gave us life. When I fell down, you were there to pick me up. When I felt bad, you were there to build me up. Gave everything you had in the world to me, and you made me the man I'm supposed to be. Jane, even though I don't say it often enough, I appreciate everything you did for us. Never take it for granted, cause it ain't hard to see. The best parts of you were now a part of me. Oh, Mama. And when it was cold outside, you kept us warm and held us down. Mom, get out! Oh, in the studio!
Check it on my guy.
We're making a track, you idiot! Just leave!
Go!
You suck, Mom! You're my one true love, my heart, my mom. Showing respect in the form of this song. So when life gets hard and it makes you cry, I'll always be there to wipe a tear from your eye. My mom's my number one fan, my best friend. And I'll never disrespect
Mom! I know you said you weren't hungry, but I did dance on a log.
Please, get the please, fuck please, out! Go!
So how's your little club going?
Not a club!
It's a rap group!
Anyway, and
eat
him if you
go to hell, Mom! She's an angel on earth with invisible wings. I put no one above in summer, winter, or spring or fall.
Have you guys seen the remote?
Oh, fuck you! Leave us alone!
I hope you fucking die!
Jump in front of a bullet if it can save my mom. You gotta go with bullet, cause she will never see your heart.
Never mind, I found
God! Oh my God!
Do I care about the remote, you asshole?
Alright, everything okay?
Shut the fuck up, dude!
Hey, be nice to Dick.
Fuck
damn! Can't believe you have sex with that guy!
We now return to the scope, just for the hell of it.
Under the scope. We are back. Episode 109, the marathon continues.
Yale.
With news. So what news stories did you pull from the internet this week?
Well, Adam? If I were to give you the name Randall Mario Poffo, would you know who I'm talking about?
No, what would have popped into my mind was an old-timey wrestler from the 80s named Leapin' Lenny Poffo,
oh,
who
yeah.
would jump around. And I think he threw frisbees. That was his thing. Yeah.
He was also known as the Genius for a time, a few other ones. Brother of Randy Mario Poffo, or Randall, Randy Macho Man Savage.
Which I did not know that. That was a shock to me. I didn't know that it was a family business, the Macho Man.
From Minnesota. Well, he's dead.
Macho Man was from Minnesota?
Yeah. The Poffos.
I did not know that. Jeez. There you go. Minnesota, hotbed
that
of wrestlers.
That doesn't surprise me.
A lot of wrestlers from around here.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
You know who?
Joining
Mr. Perfect, also from Minnesota.
Paul Orndorff.
Yeah, died last year, the year before.
Jeez Louise, Minnesota wrestlers not faring well.
I watched a video of Mr. Perfect's intro, and they say, like, hailing from Hastings, Minnesota. Yeah. It's
well-known Hastings, Minnesota. Right.
It's weird that's what they use as the thing. Anyway, yeah, he died yesterday. They think he had a heart attack while driving and then crashed, because...
That's what happens.
Yeah. I just was, like, looking through some of the articles, looking for, you know, kind of how they described him, and I thought, I like this one. Unlike some of his contemporaries who got by with gimmicks.
No gimmicks. Feather boa.
Savage was an incredible athlete.
He was good.
He hit .254 in four seasons of minor league baseball. At his peak as a wrestler, Savage was second only to Hulk Hogan in universal popularity.
Yeah, fair enough.
Even when he was playing
the heel,
the nastiest of heels. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a heel for a long time. Didn't like him.
Yeah, and then I just love that. Famous for his flamboyant attire and entrance music, pomp and circumstance.
He liked the pomp. That's right. I totally forgot that. Yeah. So the classiness to him.
And his ubiquitous verbal tick. I heard you doing it.
Oh,
early.
Yeah. Oh,
it's good.
Oh,
you guys are good at that.
Dude. Oh, yeah. I'm going to go and get you. I'm going to eat your brain.
Have you seen any pictures of him recently?
No.
Looks like Santa Claus.
He really does.
Santa Claus.
Oh,
really,
that's just, so sad.
And he was 53 or 58.
He was a pup.
58, did, yeah. Didn't look like he should look that
He was sort of ostracized. I don't know if you're going to know this. He was ostracized from the WWF or, you know, he didn't really participate with it once he retired. And
They don't like that.
They didn't like it. Yeah. And he just recently maybe mended the bridges because he was in a WWE like a video game where it's his first time his character was ever in a video game in modern times. So they were thinking that maybe he was going to be, you know, kind of a comeback, maybe be in the Hall of Fame, the WWE fake Hall of Fame, you know?
All Hall of Fames are fake in that respect. All right, so that happened. Wow. Entertainment
Weekly.
It was
very sad on the internet.
It was. Yeah. A lot of people were bummed out by it.
Patton Oswalt had a funny tweet where he said the only one that could defend us from the legions of Satan was going to be Macho Man.
Macho Man leading the way.
So now, this was yesterday, so he's like, it's really happening, everyone. It's really happening.
God almighty. Too soon. Patton.
Entertainment Weekly had a really annoying article this week about how there's nothing left for South Park to make fun of anymore.
Really? I didn't read that.
Aren't there always going to be new things, though?
Exactly. And and I was like, I feel like they probably could have said this 10 years ago.
Who'd ever thought this show? What season is this now?
15?
14? I mean, this is insane that the show is still going.
Yeah.
Jared, I was in college when this show came out.
Yeah. I was in high school.
I remember. Jeez, it was a phenomenon back in the TRU days.
Oh, yeah.
The reason this came up is because the second person, a second person has been charged with terroristic threats over the episode from last season, the two-parter, where, you know, Muhammad was in a bunny suit.
Yeah.
And
that's not how he is?
No. So anyway, I was just annoyed like at the whole, you know, aspect of whatever.
Yeah.
And it's also a news story.
Do you still watch that show regularly?
Yeah.
Jared, do you watch South Park?
I haven't. That was never a regular watch.
I probably haven't watched it in 10 years. But people still watch it and love it. I mean, it still seems to be. They seem to tap into a nerve, a vein, if you will.
Well, they managed to keep it very timely, and that's it's part of its success.
Yep.
TV news this week. The upfronts were this past week. This is where
a lot of shit happening.
Yeah, the five networks, counting the CW for some reason, get together in Vegas or LA, and they
usually LA or New York.
Okay. I think it's New York. Yeah,
And they show their schedules off to the advertisers,
or as the British say,
advertisements,
schedules.
Oh, okay,
schedules.
Schedule.
They try to set the ad rates, kind of based on all this.
It's about getting money, essentially.
Right. So, just a couple interesting things. Shit My Dad Says was canceled, which had been rumored, but no one was really sure. That show is averaging 10.7 million viewers a week, which is low for CBS, because its lead-in was Not 2.5 Men, Big Bang Theory, and I think it's like. It's like a 30% drop off of its ratings. Mm-hmm. But you compare that with NBC, you know, where
NBC, I don't think, has a show in the top 20 regularly.
Right.
Maybe Biggest Loser, sometimes The Office. Yeah. That's it. The so Voice.
Yeah, yeah, you compare it to like 30 Rock or any of those, and it's like, I'm sure they would love to have a show getting 10.7 million. Yeah. I'm assuming that the demographic for the 10.7 is, you know, skews way old or something. So it's like, the ad rate for it isn't great anyway, but
this tells you how wonky television can be.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was there isn't a show that started in the last season on regular, you know, networks that I either didn't drop myself or was canceled.
Yeah,
wasn't canceled. I didn't.
This is a bad year.
I have no new shows surviving into season 2.
Me either. Not one.
Yep.
Not
kind of crazy.
Next year,
which is sad because there were some shows I actually enjoyed. Like I don't know if you guys watch Mad Love that was on after How I Met Your Mother?
Mm-mm. No.
I quite liked that show. I thought it was fun.
And that didn't make it.
Did not make it. I was hoping.
Had a great cast, actually.
Who was in that?
I had Sarah Chalk from...
I watched one episode of
Scrubs.
That.
I had...
Red Hair Girl.
Yeah. I can't the big, bad with names.
The Jack Black guy from Reap, whatever.
From Reaper. He's awesome. I like that guy.
Yeah.
It was a good cast. I had Jason Biggs from, you know, the American Pie films.
Yeah.
Anyway, so sad to see it go.
There was kind of a funny back and forth between one of NBC's TV presidents and Jimmy Kimmel. So there was a quote that NBC's Robert Greenblatt said where he says, I thank God every day for The Voice, because I guess that show's doing really well.
Yeah. Not as well as it did initially, but okay. It's doing
and then,
well for them.
Jimmy Kimmel's comeback was, God hasn't watched NBC since Friends. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Even God's given up.
So the news on the ABC and Fox side wasn't, I guess, all that surprising. NBC, there are a couple things. Chuck got picked up for a half season, and there will be a finale, which I'm kind of annoyed with because I've been downloading or recording the last two seasons, but haven't watched it, kind of assuming it would just get canceled and yeah. I wouldn't have to.
Chuck, I think Chuck had a pretty rough season overall, I think, but I thought it ended very strongly.
Yeah, so I'm about seven behind, Jared.
I'm pretty excited for a abbreviated season five to see what they do with it based on how things were set up at the end of season four.
I kind of wish, even though like I like shows a lot, I kind of wish 12 was just the normal number.
Yeah. Like, there's a reason I keep not getting myself to watch Fringe, because it's like, 22 episodes per season, that's a huge commitment.
Yeah,
my guess is this season will be the last season of Fringe. Yeah. And if they're lucky, they'll be lucky to get a full season, just like, by the ratings have been so terrible.
But like 12 episodes of Breaking Bad, it's like, that's like perfect.
Yeah,
it's right in the pocket, as they say. Yes.
30 Rock is going to get the Parks and Rec treatment this year, not get shown until January or February, whenever they decide, you know, mm-hmm. to do it. And that's probably, Tina Fey is pregnant again, so
that's a lot to do with
it. And Wonder Woman didn't get picked up. Nope. Kind of a surprise. I think most people had expected it.
You figure with a show like that, that got as much press and talk.
Yeah.
And it's such a well-known character that at least give
it
a
shot. It must have been really bad.
I got to see that pilot. I think that pilot will be leaked eventually.
Charlie's Angels did get picked up though, so by ABC. So that's no, me either. On CBS, we haven't talked about it, but I'm sure everyone else has. Ashton Kutcher is going to be not replacing Charlie Sheen, but you know, coming into 2 and a Half Men.
Yeah.
So
could be interesting. I think
could
it's
be
like
interesting.
Interesting choice because he could play a sort of similar character, but he definitely skews younger, which is probably a plus for them.
Let me ask you guys this. Hugh Grant was very close to taking that role,
really?
But it fell apart at the last minute. Who would you rather have in there, Hugh Grant or Ashton Kutcher?
Kutcher.
I pick Hugh Grant.
I don't
actually
watch the show. I like Hugh Grant in movies.
I just think
movies.
That'd be totally different.
I think from an advertising and from a demographic standpoint, Kutcher's a better bet in that,
probably.
He's younger, and I think he's more drawable.
CBS is doing a really weird thing. There's the Rules of Engagement show with David Spade and Putty from Seinfeld.
Putty.
Yeah.
David Warburton.
Yeah. They're moving
Patrick,
it to Saturday, Saturday nights.
Yeah, the CBS is actually programming a Saturday night now, which nobody has done in years,
other
than Fox with their Cops and whatever that they usually run.
It's an interesting gamble.
Yeah. No one's expecting it to pay off, but I don't know. We'll see. Maybe it's low risk. Those shows probably they don't do so well.
Syndication, they'll make their money back.
Yeah. And finally, J.J. Abrams has a new show, and it's being written by Jonah Nolan, who's most famous for co-writing the Batman movies with his brother. Person of Interest, and it's getting the 9 o'clock, 8 Central Thursday night spot that CBS or that CSI has had for the last 11 years. So CBS has confidence in it to put it in. You know, in that best spot.
I'll check it out. I'll also check out his Alcatraz. And I'm happy that CW picked up The Ringer, that CBS did not pick up.
Some interesting shows popping up.
Supposedly Sarah Michelle Gellar is not happy about that.
No,
she thought
I
it was
going to
be a CBS show.
Yeah.
does that go back to CBS?
They own
partly
part of CW.
Owning. Yeah. Okay, so that's they get.
Yeah, it's CBS and Warner Brothers that own that.
All right, so that's it. That's all I had for TV.
What about our dueling fairy tale shows? That seems to be the trend this year. Grimm and Once Upon a Time or something like that.
I don't know.
They're both fairy tale based shows.
I saw ABC had two shows with the name Bitch in it, but they renamed both of them.
Yeah, probably for the best.
There isn't anything that I'm like super pumped about, but I tend to not really pay much attention until late summer anyway and see what I'm getting into. So,
I think our next episode, we need to talk about our favorite show of the year or two
this past year
for the past TV season,
TV wrap up.
We could do like a summer preview too. Those are all starting this couple next week.
Sure.
But we can do that. I was just going to add, I think I'm taking a new approach when it comes to television though, and I don't know if I'm gonna, how many new shows I'm gonna try out. I think I'm more, because it's so easy now to get into a show later on if it turns out to be good,
yeah,
that I think I might take a more of a wait and see approach and see what people are saying, what critics are saying and before I really dive into them.
I think out of the shows we talked about, I will watch Alcatraz.
Yeah.
Probably from the start. Maybe the other J.J. Abrams show. And then after that.
I think those two are definitely. Yeah. It's usually a little easier for me to get into just trying out a sitcom because it's less of a commitment.
Yeah, it's 20 minutes.
So there's a couple of those I might try out. But.
Well, let's. Why don't you guys think about what you liked past TV season. We'll catch up on it. What else?
Either of you guys have PlayStation 3s?
Yes. I just turned it on. Started playing God of War 3. I've had the game for a year, and I haven't turned my PlayStation 3 on for probably a year and a half, and I finally turned it on.
So
it's fun, by the way, Jared.
I've played the first two, so I would imagine 3 is more of the same.
So the PlayStation Network, it's been down for the last 3 weeks. It came back online, and then hackers found ways to reset everyone.
The same day. Yeah.
Newly reset password. So that was
and it wasn't like you needed to be a genius, right?
Yeah. No, they were able to exploit it because they had stolen all the information.
Yeah. Right. So like it was like, what was your mother's maiden name? And it's like, well, they had that information because that's
part and of what like your date of birth or something like that.
So how did Sony end up closing that hole?
I don't know.
I think they changed some of the...
Maybe they changed the question. Who knows?
Yeah. This is what you should say.
The PlayStation Store is still down. And games like L.A. Noire, which is out right now, there's an exclusive case that you can only get on a PlayStation. You can't download that case because you have to enter the code on the store.
Weeks and weeks and weeks of Rock Band songs. Can't get them.
How bad has this hurt Sony?
It's a huge hit to them.
I've heard stories of there being just lots and lots of trade-ins of PS3s for Xboxes. People are just fed up with it. And
I think that they
away.
Deserve it. I think this is a huge breach of the contract.
Yeah.
Not like they had a contract, but like a
social contract.
A social contract that... Like, you guys, the hubris that you had to think that something like this could never happen.
Is that why they were attacked? Because they said it would never happen? And is the Xbox network similarly vulnerable?
From what I understand, Sony has had a very, a terrible relationship with this anonymous group. I mean, they sort of called them out publicly over some of the hacking that's been done with the PS3. Mm-hmm. And I think that they were targeted... Okay. Specifically for that.
That sounds more like Anonymous's MO.
Yeah.
Just to go after someone who's fucking with them.
Yeah. Which I think is a bunch of BS, by the way, but you didn't hear that from me.
But we completely sympathize with any efforts to... That was Shane that said that bad thing. One last thing.
Yeah.
So this game, Conduit 2, came out for the Wii.
Okay.
It's a first-person shooter.
Mm-hmm.
There's been not so great reviews of it. This freelance reviewer wrote a 1 out of 5 review for it on Joystick, the website, and then leaked emails came out, kind of implying that the company behind Conduit 2 may have directed their employees to go to the guy that wrote the review. He has a couple books that he sells on Amazon and give them all bad reviews.
Really?
Yeah. And video game journalism reviews is like a shady business to begin with.
It is.
The way Metacritic scores determine bonuses and stuff like that.
Shouldn't do that.
And how companies will only send out review copies to sites that they know they're going to get a favorable review for. So the Metacritic score, like if... someone did an interesting analysis of Dragon Age 2 where at launch day, its Metacritic score was a 90. And 2 weeks later, by the time all the other sites and publications had copies and posted their reviews, it was down to like a 68.
Hmm.
Anyway.
It is a little shady business, isn't
it? It's shady, but it means money.
Yeah.
It is.
So I don't know. I thought it was kind of an interesting story where they, there's these leaked emails that basically say, so one of them says, Michael Murdoch was kind enough to recently provide us with a Conduit 2 review. And so in turn, you all should feel at liberty to, after reading the book, of course, return the favor by writing a reader review for Michael's book and then providing the Amazon links to them. So this is like, the internal email from the company. So it just seems shady.
Is there any fallout on this or
nothing yet? Amazon said that they're, it violates their review policies, and so like they might cancel some accounts, but it's an email address.
Yeah, start another account.
Yeah.
Hmm.
that's pretty much it. We probably don't have the time to get into what happened yesterday at the Minnesota State House.
Yeah. That's maybe a little too local for... Yeah. We'll talk about it offline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. News wrapped up, Jared.
Word.
Following news is...
Yep.
Review. What? That means more talking from Adam.
Yeah.
Can't
kick him off the show. We read all this
he's
stuff.
He's a key. He's a cornerstone of everything that happens.
I hear there's a robot that does my voice.
So there is a robot. There's no doubt about it.
Wow.
He hasn't been fine-tuned in a while, though.
So we are reviewing the Beastie Boys' new album, Hot Sauce Committee Part 2. HCSPT.
It's a long one.
Is the eighth studio album by the Beastie Boys.
Oh, no. Hit it.
There we are.
Perfect. I like that I talked like Stephen Hawking.
Ties right into our questions.
Originally planned for release in September of 2009 under the title Hot Sauce Committee Part 1, the album was delayed after band member MCA was diagnosed with cancer. After a two-year delay, it was released on May 3rd of this year. It was previously known by its working title, Tadlock's Glasses.
I don't know what that means.
Tadlock's Glasses. The album sounds
like a reference to some like Elvis Presley's driver or something like that. Elvis Presley gave him some glasses or some shit.
Gotcha.
It's all in the Wikipedia article.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Just so everyone, I guess, is aware, Hot Sauce Committee Part 1 and the track listing for Hot Sauce Committee Part 2 are essentially the same. So most of the songs that were on the old album are now on the new one, plus or minus a few.
There's no trickery going on or recording two separate albums altogether.
Nope. The album sound can easily be understood upon learning that it was produced by Philip Zadar, producer of Phoenix's 2009 album Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix.
Mm, great album.
Which sounded like older Phoenix albums mashed up with kind of a Daft Punk or European techno sound. It's not as if the Beastie Boys have never had electronic or dance music backing their tracks before. It's just more front and center this time. The album's first track and single, Make Some Noise, is one of those songs you can hear 2 seconds of and know exactly who made it. Cowbell, fuzzed out vocals, live instruments, while being super sample heavy. It's all here. Also references to Ted Danson. So here's a clip of that. Yes, here we go again, give you more, nothing lesser. Back on the mic is the antidepressor. Hard rock, no pressure, yes we need this. The best is yet to come in, yes believe this. Let go my echo, my affect my ego. Sip on Prosecco, dressed up the Kino. Send my coffee playing Kino in the casino. Want a lucky number, ask my Dino. Before the competition like a flamethrower.
That's the real shit.
I think my personal favorite song is the kind of new wavy and intergalactic sounding Okay. It sounds like a late 70s Gary Numan song, as if it were a remix by the Chemical Brothers, but still sounding like a Beastie Boys song the whole time. Here's a clip of that. My knees might be from New York City. I guess it's there in the mind. But now, leave behind. Wanna be smooth like a nice nut to butter. But I saw your pen, every word that you utter. Yes, you said you are a big deal. But money gone down, for real. Got to control my mind. Got to slow down, rewind. What is going on in my head? What's got to happen? What is going on in my head? What's got to happen? There you go. Hot Sauce Committee Part 2 is available at all your usual retailers in 4 different editions that I could find. There may be more than that, but that's the number I was able to count.
It's a lot of editions.
Yeah.
Well, Jared's the biggest Beastie Boys fan I know, and I've been dying to hear what he thinks about this album.
Well, Jared, you're very subdued.
Would you tell me, Jared? Please. Tell me sure.
What's
me
my other choice? What's my other choice?
You could go back to the year 1850 and live as a pauper.
Wow. I think I will choose the former and tell you what I think about the album.
Very good.
As you said, I am probably the biggest Beastie Boys fan in the room. I have been a fan since License to Ill. I have gone through all of their various phases and for the most part enjoyed each and every one of them. This album took me a while to kind of get my head around. Obviously, the first single is... quintessential Beastie Boys. You hear it, you know it. It's a good song. It gets your body moving. And
the video
body moving.
And the video is chock full of just about. It's a who's who of Hollywood.
It's a great video.
The extended version is not as good, in my opinion. It's a little weird. But probably worth at least a cursory view. Mm-hmm. Once you get past the opening track, it's like, I had a hard time differentiating the tracks at first. On my first listen, it's like I couldn't quite tell one from another. Nothing really stuck out as being super memorable. But the more I listen, the more they start to kind of separate, and the more I find myself enjoying this album. I mean, it's in Beastie Boys fashion, at least if you look at the middle chunk of their career, it's very dense, very layered. There's a lot of things going on, and they certainly don't concern themselves with having a contemporary sound necessarily. I like the fact that they use a lot of delays on their vocals, and so the vocals are kind of like overlapping and kind of creating this soundscape, which is really interesting. For me, Move Something is Head and Shoulders the best song on the album, but I also enjoy Too Many Rappers. I like the one Adam picked out, Okay. I even like the kind of, you know, punk song, but then again, I like a lot of their punk stuff just because I'm a fan. What's that? That's Lee Majors Come Again. Apparently that was released as a single back in 2009 as well. Hmm. When the album was originally supposed to come out. You know, it's got a good mix of hip hop and, you know, you got the one punk song and you've got a couple of instrumental moments and just some weird little, kind of interludes. It's growing on me.
Okay.
And the production is really, really good and fun to listen to. And there's a lot of things to kind of pick out. Like I said, first listen, nothing really stuck out, but the more I listen to it, the more the songs kind of define themselves, and I find myself enjoying it more and more.
Hmm. Well,
so, not perfect, but definitely good.
Workmanlike.
I don't know about that.
More than workmanlike. Here's the thing for me and the Beastie Boys. They are a perfect mix tape band for me. You know, you get the best of what they do, you put it together with a bunch of other songs, bam, they fit right in. But an album for me from the Beastie Boys, front to back, it's just not normally what I do. So I have to kind of look for the songs that I really like and use those as sort of the benchmark. And, you know, like you said, Jared, there's about three or four really interesting, awesome songs in here. And then some of the other stuff kind of blends together.
Yeah. And it's hard for me because you say they're not a front to back album band. But for me, I could go back and listen to Paul's Boutique, Check Your Head, Ill Communication, and even Hello Nasty front to back and love every moment of it.
And I'm just saying that's just me. I mean I'm probably the guy that's breaking the rule there. It
makes me a little sad that their last couple albums I can't do that to necessarily. So
well, maybe if you keep listening that will happen for you. But for me, you know, there's some great moments in there, there's some boring moments, but More things shine than fade away on this album for me. Adam.
A lot of times when I hear Beastie Boys songs, they kind of remind me a little bit of what we were talking about earlier with something like Donald Glover, where because they all sound so like a Beastie Boys song, it's almost like when I hear Mike D or Ad Rock sing or rap, whatever, it almost sounds gimmicky. It's like the wrong word for it, but that's,
it's like their thing that's sort of,
and it's
been
so
done.
So much their thing that it's like there's nothing left to that thing to be new. I don't know what I'm trying to say with it. I definitely like this album more than the first couple times I went through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that'll probably be the way that it kind of extends its life a little bit. It's far and away, you know, like if I were to draw, you know, like on a chart, you know, my reception to Beastie Boys songs, I'm sure it's a slight downward trend since 1994. That might just be for everyone, though. You know, they're old. These are 40-year-old guys rapping, so late 40s. So I mean, that's just bound to happen. But yeah, I mean, there are some songs on here that are they're great, and you know, they could fit in with all the best Beastie Boys songs that have ever been. So when they release their next best of album and it's three discs instead of two, I'm sure there'll be, you know, four or five songs from this on it.
Very nice. Well, let's give this thing a score and see where it ranks as of today.
The Scope score is 2.75 stars.
I think I'm already enjoying this album more than I enjoyed To the Five Boroughs.
Yeah, I think you're right there.
That's true.
I think you're right there. Well, let's keep pushing off the show, guys. We expended a lot of energy earlier, so we really got to kick it up top shelf whatever right now.
Top
for,
shelf ice cream. That's what we're reviewing.
Top shelf
next.
Ice cream for coming soon. Make some noise, Adam.
This is amazing. This,
make the, some noise.
The third item on this list I'm really excited for. Okay. So first, Lady Gaga has a new album coming out, and it's coming out on Monday instead of Tuesday. She gets her
release.
Own day.
She gets her own day. Go Gaga for Gaga on Monday.
All right. Now, is this her second full album? Because I thought that one that came in between was not actually a full album.
Yes, I think you're right.
So Born This Way comes out tomorrow, right? Or today, if you're listening to this. So.
Yes. On the cover of that, she sort of has her face photoshopped into a motorcycle. It's very strange.
Can we all agree?
Very weird album
cover. Can we all
agree
she is probably the best looking woman in the world?
What?
Okay.
I think she's kind of attractive, but she's not the best looking
in
the world.
No, not even close, bro.
I don't think she's very attractive.
I think that new office assistant on The Office is hotter than she is. Thank you.
All right. Brad Paisley.
Yep, your favorite.
I don't know who that is, but he has an album called...
He's the founder of Paisley Park Studios, right?
Yep.
Perfect.
And he also is known for his country and western stylings.
So I see that his album is called This Is Country Music. So the shit we've been listening to or not been listening
never
to...
Been
throw away your Glenn Campbell, your Johnny Cash. It's all horseshit.
Yep. Your Randy Travis.
Okay. Now, I didn't
Garth
know this
Brooks.
This next one was in the works, a thing, or whatever. So I'm kind of excited just to hear it.
Ooh.
New Kids on the Block... And Backstreet Boys.
Yes, NKOTBSB.
Yes.
Jared knows. Jared knows.
Why is Backstreet Boys abbreviated BSB and not just BB? I mean, Backstreet
back
is one
street
word.
Boys.
Yeah, but Backstreet is one word. Yeah. Backstreet's back.
BSB. It sounds better than BB.
All right.
I mean, you could technically drop the on the from the New Kids on the Block and just be, you know, NKB.
I think it's a band's choice. They can decide how they want their names to be acronymed out.
Yeah, but NKOTB is funny because then it's off-track betting. And then you figure out what you want the NK to be at the beginning. Yeah. New Kid off-track betting. May 31st, Death Cab has a new album coming out.
I was thinking Nifty Caramel Corn myself. But.
Eddie Vedder has another solo album.
Does he? How much will Al like that one? He's a big Eddie Vedder guy. I think
he'll like it.
Is this going to be the score or soundtrack for another movie? That'd be a question.
Ooh.
Jordan Knight. So speaking of was he a new kid?
Yes.
So is he not doing this?
No, he's doing it all. He's doing piggybacking. He's piggybacking.
Why would you not, you know, stack your eggs in
why would you call your
basket?
Album?
I might say synergy.
Why would you call your album unfinished? Makes it seem like it wasn't finished.
Maybe because he was working so hard on the New Kids on the Block Backstreet Boys. It is unfinished.
It's not, he's just getting out what he can. Yeah.
It's like eight half songs. They just sort of stop.
Kate Bush. I don't know who that is, but I assume she's related to Kate. It's a Bush.
Singer-songwriter.
Yeah, she's a singer-songwriter.
Everything Zen.
Mm-hmm.
My Morning Jacket. They have a new album coming out.
They do.
I never really digged them.
I always like a couple songs. They are like jam band guys, though. The songs are really long.
I'm not into jamming.
And The Vaccines. Now, do you know who The Vaccines are?
I have their album, actually.
What are they like?
They're British.
If I didn't like them, would I have to consider myself an anti-vaxxer? That's my biggest concern.
All I know is they've been playing vaccines locally here for a while on the current.
The vaccines cause autism. Can I say that?
Yes. You can say that.
All right.
Absolutely, Jenny McCarthy.
Movies.
Yes.
May 26th, Kung Fu Panda 2 and The Hangover 2.
Are we seeing The Hangover? Are we going to see that?
I'd like to see it. Jared, I'm just going to say this. This is sort of a closed circuit to Jared.
Yeah.
But you can listen if you like.
Yeah,
yeah. We may
are you talking to me or the
we
listeners?
May have to do a double feature movie day. Like where we skip a week and then we go and we see two movies back to back. I'm just saying that might have to be in the cards.
When would this happen?
I don't know yet. We'll talk about
the weekend of June 3rd. We see maybe The Hangover and an X-Men First
maybe.
Class.
Maybe. It may have to go that way. Because we have a babysitter May 3rd. Next week we do not have one. So.
Mm-hmm.
So think about it.
So
process.
Did you know there's like 27 sequels coming out this year?
I know,
most
it's
ever.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
June 3rd, X-Men First Class.
As like we mentioned.
Yes. Mentioned. Which I am excited for. I don't care.
I'm getting more
says.
Excited about it too.
Yes.
Calm down.
We are excited for it.
Mandy and I, we both bought those Living Social Fandango deals like months ago and they expired June 6th. So there's a warrant. If you bought those in January or whenever they came out, use them soon.
Use them. Or lose them, as they say.
There is a fancy movie theater in nearby in St. Louis Park where you can pick your seats online.
Oh,
you know? And
wow.
They're like leather and they're just gigantic seats.
Chandeliers?
Probably. And they have popcorn that is popped in bacon fats.
Oh my God.
Seriously?
I haven't tried it, but we're going to go and do that. So anyway,
that's something else.
The tickets are usually $12.50 for the fancy area.
The popcorn is $95.
But if you happen to live in the area and have that Living Social deal still from way back when, you should use it.
And you're nearer there to your people as well. St. Louis Park, a bastion for your people.
Not anymore. They
moved out?
Not since Look Who's Moving Into Town came in.
What? Is that a sequel to Look Who's Talking? What is
it's a sequel to Look Who's Coming to Dinner.
Oh.
Okay. Oh.
Or Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. Or,
oh, my.
I'm talking about the blacks.
Mm. Thank you for clarifying.
Who Donald Trump has a good relationship with.
He does.
DVDs, Gnomeo and Juliet, and the Kids in the Hall, Death Comes to Town.
Yes.
And May 31st, American Graffiti is getting a reissue. Why? Who knows? And Everybody Loves Raymond, the complete series.
That week, nothing is coming out on DVD.
Wow.
Nothing. Sweet. It's amazing how, you know, back in the golden days of DVD, there was always something good coming out every week. Now, it's a 50-50 shot. You just don't know. It's
50-50
crazy.
Shot.
50-50 shot.
Video games.
Week
of May 22nd, Dirt 3 is coming out. People like the Dirt series.
They
do. Rally racing.
They love getting dirty.
Yeah. Dead or Alive Dimensions. That's the 3DS Dead or Alive game.
Yep.
Great. 3DS.
Look at Jared dusting off boxes. He's having such a good show.
Kung Fu Panda 2. Decided to leap through a box of comics here.
And May 29th, Hunted, The Demon's Forge.
Fun.
I don't know what that is, so it must not be a good game.
Probably not.
I know all the good games.
It's another bad bad week in video games.
Yeah. A couple things come out here pretty soon, but yeah, after L.A. Noire, that's just nothing till June, I think.
I think that they sort of want to wait till after. We don't want anything pre-E3.
Well, you don't want to release anything during E3.
No. Be totally overshadowed.
Yeah.
We have Battle Chasers issue number 7 from Cliffhanger
People
Comics.
Love Battle Chasers. Possibly coming back, by the way.
Chasing Battles. It's just like weather.
I have
tornado,
all of those, by the
tornado
way. I have
chasers.
All of those.
All right. You're really proud
Show
of
not
it.
Long enough?
You get your comics delivered to you through the mail?
Jared hasn't collected comics.
This is probably 8 years old.
I get my comic books through the mail.
How does that work?
Well, the company that I have been going through for about 2 years sent out an email saying, oh, by the way, in 2 months, we're only going to be doing statues and busts. So I had to find a new place. And I haven't gotten anything from them yet. But the company I was with was great.
Like, it's just like Amazon, but
cheaper. They give a 30% discount on books. They bag them free. You don't pay tax.
You just like set. You're like, here's the ones I don't want to subscribe to. And
yeah, you can have like a poll list, or every month you have to go in and submit your order. Which
why
I'm
not just do you not like waiting for the trade paperback or the trades? Is that what the deal is?
I probably should, but sometimes the wait is so long. Yeah. I mean, it could be a year.
They could not come out.
Yeah,
they don't have a guarantee. Okay.
I have a correction on the date. This is actually I used to buy from Next Planet Over.
Mm.
The ship date on this is December 11th, 2000.
Wow.
The packing list lists, here are some highlights, Wildcats Volume 2, number 18.
Wow.
The Authority, number 21. 100 Bullets, number 19.
That was a good one. That issue.
Ooh, Blade of the Immortal, Gathering, number issue 9 of 15, or part 9 of 15. That's number 15. 50,
no Marvel no Marvel comics in there yet.
No. Hey. Spy Boy, number 14.
Wow.
Strangers in Paradise, Volume 3, number 36.
I say we play a game of D&D and just record that, too.
I don't remember this series at all. Adventures in the Rifle Brigade, number 2 of 3.
That was a DC Vertigo book written by Grant Morrison, maybe?
Interesting. Like, are the only other ones I kind of recognize?
Maybe Warren
that
Ellis?
I do not.
Someone famous.
One of those guys.
Leaf through that.
Very nice, Jared. Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's wrap this up and let's get the bleep out of here.
All right. That's not even right yet, is it? Yeah, it is.
Try it again.
I'm completely lost touch with the show.
2 hours in. Ass kicker on.
Under the scope.
Well, the good news is I only have one comment to read.
I say that's bad news. Where are our listeners?
Yeah. Comment, you jerks. I should call our listeners jerks. That's awesome. Luke Ski didn't call in. He just wrote a comment on our blog. He says, hey, the album Serial Killer by Green Jello defined my summer of 93. Either of you guys listened to that album?
No, I never listened to it.
Was that the one where they had to be renamed? It was
Green
Jello?
It was Green Jello, and they had to change it to Green Jelly, yes.
Yeah. I remember that, but
Yeah, and they had the song Little Pig,
yep.
Something.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I have that album. I don't know that I gave it that much of a listen.
Hmm.
So, Luke Ski, maybe you've inspired me to pull that album out and see if I can time travel back to 93 in my head.
I like that.
Yeah. Hey, if you want to time travel back, then probably working on Time Machine. But if you're not able to do that, then you should write us a comment.
Yes.
Comments at thescopeshow.com. You can comment at our website at thescopeshow.com. Call our voicemail line 612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673. Use it. Or you can comment on our Facebook page or follow us on Twitter. All of that information is at the website. That's it.
Please access it. Well, guys, I'm not going to delay anymore. The show's long. I'm tired. You're tired, Jared. Adam is exhausted.
Yeah. Mm.
Let's wrap this effer up. There we go. Episode 109 done. We'll be back. Episode 110 coming to a podcast near you. Later.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying,
Das Vidanya.
Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.